All right. Sit down. You know what? I feel the love in a really deep way this morning, and I want you to feel the love right on back from me, because every single one of you is critically important to me. Your success is why I sit in that box all these weekends, because you're doing stuff, because you're changing the world, and I am so proud to be a part of that. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of that with you. Housekeeping, welcome. Did anybody have a big day yesterday? Did anybody have a big night last night? Did anybody cry big tears of compassion watching the pain get delivered out of this room? I did. I sat there and cried. I watched you get free, and I know what that feels like, and it was amazing to watch. And so we got some places to go now. We got some junk cleared out of the way. We got places to go today. And so, okay, the basic stuff. First of all, if you got your cell phone on, you can use it to take pictures if you want, but basically just shut it off. No video recording. They say it's, you know, the audio is professionally recorded. I kind of go, oh, when they say that. But the fact is, it's being recorded. You'll get an MP3. So please don't use your phone. No video shooting or anything like that. You know what to do. All individual products, if you saw the screen earlier, all the individual products, your time secrets, your gems, and what have you, 15% off all day yesterday. Well, Chad, yesterday you said it was 25% off. It was. Today it's not. Today it's 15% off. So before it drops again, you're going to want to go back to the resource table, pick up the product that you've been waiting for. You've just been waiting. Oh, gosh, do I really? Do it now. Just get it done. Okay, 15% off all day long today. Yesterday was a big, big day where you learned some skills. You learned not just skills about how to do things, but skills about who you are as a person, right? I've been in this seat. I remember that lesson. I love sitting up there and getting it over and over and over again. One of the things that you learned yesterday that we're going to apply today is this. You learned how to honor the person that's speaking to you. How to treat the person in that seat facing you as if they were Steve freaking Jobs, okay? If you had 5 minutes alone with Steve Jobs and he was telling you, he was imparting to you how he made Apple what it is, would you be casual? Would you be late coming back? Would you be like, okay, whatever. No, pen in hand, notepad, ready to go. You'd be back on time from breaks. You have a multi-millionaire in the room imparting into you, two of them, imparting into you the things that they know that made them successful. So here's what we're going to do. Smile. Love her with your eyes. Love her with your ears. Love her with the pen and paper. And let her know that everything, and him know, everything that comes out of their mouths is critically important to your success, and you value it as if you were sitting with Steve Jobs or whoever is important to you. Fill her back by receiving what she gives you this weekend. Honor, smile, listen, love her. Deep breath, deep cleansing breath. Okay, now that we got that all out of the way, please help me to welcome the person who could be anywhere right now, but is pouring her life into you this weekend in a powerful way. The person who has probably done more to change my life than any other single person. My coach, my mentor, your coach, your mentor, the one and only, America's favorite millionaire, Miss Danny Johnson!
Hi.
Hola.
Oh, hola. It's pretty good for a white boy. That's awesome. Okay, well, wow, man. Last night was actually a historical night. There were things that were dealt with that we have never seen dealt with before. That was so unbelievable. I got healed of some stuff myself. That was an extra bonus. For sure. Man, thanks so much for everything that you guys did yesterday, and especially for last night. There was so much hunger in the room, and so many of you that just really dug deep and gave it your absolute best, and that's so impressive and inspiring to me personally. I really consider you the best people on the planet to work with. I could not ask for a better group of clients to be associated with. I brag about you almost as much as I brag about my husband and my kids. Seriously, all over the world. I can't help but to edify who you are, what your character is, what you do. Come on, guys. We started a project 2.5 years ago, right? 2.5 years ago to build 1,000 homes in Nicaragua. That's a lifetime long goal. And here we are. Here we are, 2 years and 5 months in, and we are almost totally done with that project, which is unbelievable. Only a group of people like you, right, could do something like that. Where else can we take a group of, you know, wannabe entrepreneurs or serial entrepreneurs and, you know, make sacrifices and help to collaborate together to build homes for the extreme poor in a country you've never been to and a country you may never, ever go to? In fact, who is going with us to Nicaragua in July? So excited. It's going to be amazing. They're not going to know what hit them. They're not going to know what hit them. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. I am so, so, so excited to be able to not talk to you this morning. I am so excited to be able to sit at the feet of my husband and to sit and hear him teach and to talk about what he's so passionate about and to talk about what he has mastered, what he has learned, what he has poured his heart and soul into developing and learning for his family first, and then to be able to turn it over and to teach our clients all the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding that he's gained concerning creating wealth, more importantly, generational wealth. Which I wish we had an entire day or two just with him. You would never be bored when he's on the stage. He's not only hilarious, he's very powerful. There's nothing but testosterone inside of this man. Hans Johnson is a warrior of warriors. He is a demon slayer. He is a generational breaker. He is one who is a generational builder at the same time. He is somebody who has overcome some of the most horrific things that any child should ever have to overcome. He grew up without a father and had to learn how to become a father. He grew up without a father's example of how to treat a wife, but he had to learn how to treat a wife. And I'm telling you, he knows exactly how to treat a wife. He is not only brilliant in our household and in our company, he's known as the man with 7 brains. He thinks faster than all of us, 7 times faster than all of us. The way the wisdom flies out of his mouth is so crazy. How I could be in a funk or I could be in a place of not knowing what to do or where to go or where to turn, and just all of a sudden, bam, something just drops out. And it's kind of like, how come I didn't think of that? That's like so awesome. I can't tell you how many times I have had to go and get a piece of paper and a pen just in our home, just in my bathroom, just in the kitchen going, wait, oh my gosh, that is so good. So he has a gift of wisdom, a gift of knowledge on his life. He has been able to annihilate poverty in which he came from, growing up on the streets with a mom who was married and divorced 3 times and never had anything. He is somebody who's been able to walk away from the fear of his past and develop a brand new, powerful future that truly sets an example for other husbands and other fathers. I can say this. I have said this for more than 2 decades. If I could bottle my husband up and sell him, I'd be a multi-billionaire. Because he has everything, everything that a family would ever need. So if you can please pay very close attention, you need to take extreme, copious notes. You need to make sure and do not sit there and think, this doesn't apply to me, this is pouring over my head. No, he is preparing you and tilling the ground in your hard head, preparing you for what is to come. This man, when I met him 26 years ago, he was an 18-year-old kid who had 20 words in his vocabulary. And the were 2 of those words. Now his vocabulary far exceeds my ability to even understand carry a thesaurus with you. But what he has done is he's challenged me to grow myself. I've learned more from him about marketing, actually, than I have anybody else. He is brilliant in every form of business. He's brilliant with finance, brilliant with family. My lover, my partner, my husband, Mr. Hans Johnson.
awesome. Turn that shit up. Get that thing up. What the hell? Freaking turn it up.
You finally found the volume switch. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Whew, man. And for all you old people that's hurting your ears, I'm sorry. You'll be all right. You'll survive. Okay. Thank you, guys. You guys are amazing. Whew. Oh, man. I miss you. You guys are amazing. Wow. What happened there? I'll ask you later, but it was like there was, you guys ever rented like a U-Haul? Anybody in here? You just want to go fast and it won't let you? Anybody ever had that experience? Or when you're a little kid and you finally get to ride a freaking dirt bike and it's got a speed governor on it? Hate those things, man. What the hell? That's what the sound has been like. Maybe it's just my ears up here. Is it just me? It's you too? I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying sometimes we need a little. So I'm glad the speakers know how to put out when they need to. Okay. Wow, you guys are amazing. It's really awesome to be here. Very humbling. Very excited to be here. You guys had an amazing day yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Good day? Kind of mess you up a little bit. It's it's pretty incredible what you all do and what goes on in these events and the change and impact that's happened. For years and years and years, you know, Danny's been doing these seminars. And I think, you know, this company, we started back in 2003. And there was two other people, one gentleman that's in the room who was a founder with us in that, in starting this. And I think he deserves some honor. Mr. John Pledi, could you stand up, please, sir? You may not know. I love you, brother. My brother. So 25 years ago when we met.
Six.
Thank you, honey. Oh, and she was wrong earlier. I didn't have 20 words in my vocabulary. I had about 21, so. But 26 years ago when we all met, or when I met them, Danny's the very first Steps to Success seminar, and I met JP. And this was in Hawaii. How many of you ever been to Hawaii in here? Anybody? Anybody ever been to Kona, Hawaii? Okay. So I was 18 at the time. Oh my God. Good Lord. And so I'm at this event and all this stuff's going on, and this isn't part of my presentation, so it's going to add time and screw up my timeline, which I'm sure I'll be able to do on my own anyway. JP, he was there from the very beginning, and was always somebody that inspired and spoke life and inspiration into Danny and believed in her, even when she didn't believe in herself. And so and then many years later, when Danny was in retirement, she was focused on raising a family and being a mom, and there was a period of time there where she wasn't out speaking, and those were tough times. And there was I remember I talked to JP every once in a while, and he'd go, "Dude, what is going on? What is she doing?" You know, and that was another time. You know, and then this company started, and in the very beginning, I was doing the website and the emails and answering customer service replies and doing product development and marketing campaigns, and JP was handling phones all day long, and then he was filling orders at nighttime and sending orders out, and he did the sound system, and Mona came on board like right away. And so it's just it's things that you see today, they didn't just all of a sudden happen like that, you know? You know, you look at it and you say, "Oh my gosh," but there was a lot of battles, a lot of trial and error, a lot of war, you know, to get there. And that's kind of what life's about. So anyway, and I'm proud of you, honey. I'm proud of your tenacity. She is the most diligent woman I have ever met in my life, right? And the word says a lot about a diligent woman. But she is very, very gifted, and she has not squandered any of those gifts. Right? I used to tease her and say, "You know, you know, everybody gets their gift, you know," and she just kept getting back in line. You know. But that's kind of funny. But really, what it is she's hardworking, she's diligent. There's nothing that she has that was just happened, right? She never gave up, not just in business, but in our family, with me, with our kids, you know? So what you see today is the result of years and years and years of diligence, right? Persistence, fighting, okay? So, you know, I kind of hit you guys yesterday pretty hard in the morning, right? You know? Because we live in a world today that is basically very soft. Live in a world where there's no mental toughness. And you see that written and talked about a lot lately, but how many people actually have it? The first thing that doesn't go your way, then you're going to go whine and complain. How much mental toughness is that? Rewind the clock 100 or 200 years or 300 or 400 years ago. It wasn't a whole bunch of room for bitching, moaning, and complaining. I mean, you could do it, but ain't nobody going to do anything for you. You got to bootstrap it. You take care of yourself. Now everybody wants somebody else to take care of them. We want a microwave. We want it quick. We want to just push a button. We want it to happen overnight. I'm going to go to this seminar, and if it doesn't happen, I guess I'll go for a year. I went for a year, and Really? Really? Freaking quit now. I'm serious. If it's hard, good. Freaking good. You need hard. Your mind needs hard. Your body needs hard. Nothing good comes through easy. So if it's hard, I know what hard is. Trust me, I know what hard is. Okay, let's see if we can get this thing working before. So if it's hard, celebrate. That's a good thing. You know? Okay, so we're going to go through a quick True Wealth formula here, okay? And the screens are a little bit angled, so I hopefully won't fall off this stage too many times here today. I got to get into this. I could keep going, but otherwise I'm going to start getting lashes. I get a lash for every minute over my time I go or something like that. There's so much structure. Oh my God. All right, we'll try to keep that guy in the cage. Okay. I trick him sometimes. I give him just I let him go from the small cage to the medium-sized cage, and he feels a little bit better. Okay, so True Wealth Formula, how to get rich, live free, and stick it to the man, right? You know? Isn't that like an old 60s phrase, you know, or something like that? Stick it to the man. We're kind of back there today, right? Okay. All right. So question, do you want to become wealthy? How many of you want to be wealthy in here? Anybody? Okay. Most hands up. How many of you want to be wealthy? Okay. So next question, what is wealth? You say you want something, but you don't define it. You let the world define it for you. You let everything else define it for you. You let commercials define it for you. You let your neighbor define it for you. You let your mother define it. Your father define it. Your friends, neighbors, sisters, aunts, uncles, nephew define it. You let the Kardashians define it. You let everybody else define it. Every ad on Facebook. Everything you hear from Tom, Dick, and Harry and his brother, Mo, or whatever. But you don't ever take a moment to step back and say, what is it? And you know what? You don't have the capacity to define it. Because all your brain is full of everybody else's programs. So you actually have to let the Creator define it. You actually have to get to the point in life where you say, Father, you know all things. I know nothing. You know everything. Help me to see what you see, Father. Help me to hear what you hear. Help me to know what you know. Objectives. Okay, number one, wake you up. We're going to wake you up from that coma you've been in. I haven't been in a coma. Yes, you have. And you get the choice. You get to use your free will that the Creator gave you. He created you in His image. Gave you free will. And you get to decide, do I want to take the red pill or the blue pill? And when it's all done, you might say, crap, I should have stuck with the blue pill. Because sometimes ignorance is bliss for a little while. Right? It's your choice. Okay? Number two, make you an independent thinker. Okay? We say no 98%, but then we cross it out and say no 99%. Because nowadays we hear about the 1%, right? And it's really popular to say stick it to the man. down with the man, down with that 1%. My first wealth mentor, who I'll tell you about in a little bit, when I was doing, he was a martial arts instructor, and we'd be sitting there doing the Chinese splits and just crying. He'd be talking about the 1%. Talking about the 1%. 99%ers are quitters, right? You guys have learned about the 98 and the 92%, and that's a very accurate statistic. I'm talking today about the 1%. And the 1% isn't what the media and everybody's told you it is. Because who they're really talking about is the 0.001%. Many of you in this room are part of the, are in statistically in 1%. You're just talking about income. And statistically, globally, you are 1%. So what they've done is they've twisted definitions, they've twisted reality in order to rile people up. Because God forbid you identify what the real problem is. Fearful people are easy to control. Okay, number three is equip you. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you a framework for creating wealth in any economy. How many of you would like to be set free from the fear of the economy and the ups and downs and everything that goes on in the world today? Okay, so do you need financial advice or do you need a wealth creation system? I think what we need is a proven, battle-tested system, not more information. And this is key. More information is making you poor, not richer. More information is not the answer that you're looking for. Okay? So my story real quick. Grew up on welfare. Pretty poor. I used to say poverty, but I really don't think it was poverty. It's all relative, but I usually slept on a box mattress on a outside on a porch. I had to work when I was very young, 8 years old. I started my first business selling Lay's to tourists in Hawaii. How many of you been to Kona in here, Kona, Hawaii? So, in Kona, I would pick flowers off of trees. At 8 years old, I come home from school and make these flower necklaces, sell them to the tourists. And it was a great experience. Number one, I'm actually an introverted person, unless I let the guy out of the cage and then other things happen. But my general personality is pretty introverted. So I had to, at an early age, I kind of like, you know, because of the upbringing and the instability, right? And all that was going on is I had to, you know, I learned really quick that I needed to get out there and work, okay? And I learned right away that if I didn't work, I didn't eat, okay? So I'm very passionate about this topic, about creating wealth, okay? I had a desire from a very, very early age, I think 8, 9, 10 years old, I remember just sitting there going, I will never raise my kids like this. Right? I mean, that was the thing. I don't even know why I was thinking about that. I wasn't thinking about not having a nice car someday or all of those things that generally just middle-class people get to enjoy, you know? I was just thinking about the chaos. I was thinking about waking up every night because I was sleeping on a porch and next door was the cocaine dealer, and he would, in the middle of the night at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, be sitting out there and he would be talking in a very low voice saying, "You think you bad, bro? You don't have a father, huh? I'm going to come over there and slit your throat, huh? In the middle of the night, bro. I'm going to wake you up, and then you're going to kill your mother, too." Okay? So he would be talking in the middle of the night. I'd wake up as a little kid hearing that. Hearing this guy out there. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I grew up around. Right? One time my friend Chris and I, this was later on, when I was a little bit older, we like came up with this whole scheme that we were going to freaking get that guy. Oh boy, I better continue. I got too many stories. Okay. So That was pidgin English, by the way. You probably didn't understand what that was. So anyway, this is my story. So yeah, at 8 years old, I'd be selling these flowers, making money. And like I said, I learned very early on that if I don't work, I don't eat. You know, if I want something, I need to work for it. And that was a very valuable lesson. That was a messed up way to grow up. I mean, so, you know, when you guys are traveling, you see those little kids and stuff like that, be nice to them, you know. But I'd walk around with flowers on this pole, and I figured out these, you know, sir, would you like to buy a nice flower like this for your wife, you know? No, kid, get out of here. Okay, sir, I really appreciate that, but, you know, I mean, you learn, like, you can't just take no for an answer, because my product has a very quick shelf life. I've got about a 2-hour shelf life, and every minute that goes by, that thing, my chances of selling is decreasing, right? So, sir, you know, normally these are $5, but for you, just for today, you know. Well, sir, you know, your wife's very beautiful. Don't you think she needs to have one of these around, you know? Don't you think, you know? So you just, you know. Sir, if you don't buy this, I'm not going to eat tonight, you know. Okay. So I learned some very valuable lessons for that. So my first wealth mentor in Hawaii, so this is a common story with him. So this guy... Now I grew up in Hawaii, okay? And in Hawaii, if you're white, you're the minority. And I grew up just getting chased and beat up and like by big, huge Samoans and stuff like that. And Hawaii is very multicultural. Nowadays, it's all PC, politically correct. You can't see this, you know? And your brain's been so manipulated, controlled, because everybody's feelings are getting hurt, right? What's happened is you've been trained and conditioned to be mentally weak, okay? To be essentially, now that doesn't mean you're mean-spirited and you speak out and you intentionally try to hurt or you abuse somebody or you say things like that. But come on, if you can't even like speak a word, if you study history and you study mind control, one of the key things, language controls the mind. And so if your ability to speak a word limits your ability to think. You actually think in pictures, but you communicate in words. Okay? All right, so Damon's Chinese Hawaiian, and the Chinese are known to be, they're very frugal, kind of like the Jews, very frugal with their money, very good with money. And if you're from Hawaii, you grew up, you know this. So Damien was a multimillionaire in real estate. And he used to wear these really thick Coke bottle glasses. Okay? And I used to always feel bad when we would spar because it was like, if you know, like anytime he'd get hit, his glasses would go, you know, like this, you know. Later on, I think he got his eyes something or whatever. He actually paid for some money to get his eyes fixed. But he had these really big Coke bottle glasses. He drove around in a Datsun, the beat old, do you guys remember Datsun? Right? They came out with the better name, Nissan. Okay. I guess Nissan's better than Datsun. So he had an old Datsun truck, and one day he got rear-ended. He showed up to the YMCA because that's where he worked out. And Damien was like my first father figure. The only person in my life that was a stable man growing up. So he was a huge influence on me as a kid. And he would, like I said, when we would be just, training or stretching or whatever, he'd be speaking stuff. He'd be talking about things, okay? And he's planting seeds is what he's doing. He was a man of God. And he knew the power of the tongue. Okay, so he'd be planting seeds right there. And so one day he shows up to the YMCA and he's driving down the thing and his bumper's dragging and it's making sparks along the road. There's sparks all over the place. And he gets there. I'm like, Damien, what happened? He goes, somebody rear-ended me. I'm like, oh, that sucks. He goes, yeah, no big deal. He pulls out a roll of duct tape from his back, gets out in the back of the of his bumper and just duct tapes that thing. He's like, good to go, okay? So he drives it like that for a few weeks, and then a couple weeks later, I'm at the YMCA, and he's not out there with duct tape. This time, he's out there with a piece of rope. And I'm like, Damien, you're a multimillionaire. What are you doing? You know? So, and he's like, it's no big deal. It's my truck, right? So then, so he drove this thing for years. And no, he could have bought a new truck. He never bought a new truck. So one day I see one day I show up to the YMCA and I see this Toyota that was kind of like black with this massive Batman signal on the front hood. And that was Damien's truck. I think that was the truck he was driving when you met him. So what happened was his Datsun finally broke down. And then I'm like, Damien, where'd this Batman truck come from? He goes, some guy really needed to get rid of it. It was a great deal. I couldn't resist. So now Damien was this really like pretty quiet guy, except you get him talking, you know, if there's this other side of him, but he's generally pretty calm, quiet, everything. So it was really kind of funny because he drove that thing around town for years, like da na 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 na, you know. So it's hilarious, but here's the thing, like Damien could have bought 10 trucks, like he could have bought the nicest thing out there, and he didn't, right? So that ought to tell you something right there, okay? All right, so real quick, we'll get this wrapped up. This is my beautiful part of our family. That's recent. That was at Thanksgiving, little thing, you know, nice little. That was all, missing a few people, but no, okay. So that's Erica and her beautiful family. They got a brand new Zion now, so baby number two for Erica and Zach and Anthem and Christina and the guys and Cambridge of Town was really fun. So I don't have a college degree. I'm not college educated, but damn, I've been in the school of hard knocks for a long time. So I got a freaking PhD, so don't mess with me. We have generated millions online and in other business sources and investments as well, given millions to those in need. You guys are incredible, amazing, absolutely phenomenal people. The work that you have been doing and the rallying with Danny and behind her and King's Ransom and the work that's been done there is just absolutely amazing. Unbelievable. I remember the first time when we were, it was a couple of years into DJC where we were running the business out of a barn. Danny had jumped on was it K-Love? And they were just begging for money. And it was I'm sure she's told this story. How many of you guys, she's told this story a few times? So people were, so what was going on was they were doing an annual thing for, street people that were getting a turkey meal or a Thanksgiving meal. But what was happening, but there were stories on there, and there were guys that, it was incredible. This is what the thing, like you hear that and that happens all the time, but what made it different was they had testimonial after testimonial after testimonial. And the testimonies were, I came and I got a meal from you guys last year, and then it was enough to help me get some, you know, inspiration. I started my own business. Now I own a furniture store and my business is doing millions of dollars and all my people are former homeless people. I mean, like, it was crazy. So Danny jumps on, she calls in, we're just like, hey, let's do a donation. So she gets on and she starts, you know, talking to them. And then I can't remember how it all happened, but we were talking in between the breaks and they were interviewing her. And it was just so stupid because it's like, oh, you're going to give $1,000. Oh, can you give $220? Can you give $100? You know, all this like totally lameness. And we always have a different memory and viewpoint of how things happen. So this is my story. No. No. But so anyway, I told her, I said, tell them that if they'll raise 10, we're going to match at 10 right now, $10,000 right now. But they got to pull, they got to get that and get on, you know, and she got on and she started doing that and it just changed the whole thing. And all of a sudden other business people and everything like that started doing it, you know, and I was like, what is wrong with these people? I mean, seriously, right? Anyway, side story. But anyway, just, you guys are amazing and you guys have done that and you've taken that idea and that message and you guys have duplicated that and you guys have raised so much and it's gone to incredible places. Okay. This is a property that we had in Bora Bora. I don't know if Danny ever talks about it, but this was the most incredible, amazing, fantastically miserable experience of our lives. I got to participate in the miserable part of it, but no, it was incredible. It was amazing. We went to Bora Bora for our renewal and we, you know, oh honey, that's such a, oh, you know, yes honey, let's do it. And then, so we bought this property. And And this is it on an ugly day. But this was our beach. So this is just sticking. This is out of the villa. So it was a villa. And the thing is in Bora Bora, you can't buy property. You can't buy property in French Polynesia. So there's all these loops and all this stuff you have to do. And it's really nuts. Okay, I won't go into the, I got to hurry up because I'm already going to be. So this is, again, this is our beach. This is a private beach that we had. And there's a couple people here that were there, actually. Jackie was there, and because we did some retreats there. It was pretty amazing during a mentor program that we were doing. Okay, these are old photos, but they're hilarious. I still keep them around. This is Mike and Roman sticking the nylon stocks over their head and just being goofy. It's just craziness. Just the days, right? This is the, I think they were doing like some kind of like Marvel scene or something like that. Now, this one's funny. How many of you know Roman in here? Okay, I'm going to show you the many talents of Roman. Okay, watch this, okay? You want to see that again? Okay. You like that? Okay, let's speed it up. Let you guess what's going on there, you know? Like, all right, this is another one of his talents. Roman, we used to kind of like... Roman, when he was a kid, was like a little wind-up toy. We'd take him out in public and just like, hey, Roman, show this trick. Hey, Roman, do this trick. So we'd be at restaurants, and Roman could fit massive wine goblets inside of his mouth. It was like, and the waiters would just be like, totally freaked out. Here's the guys, teenagers. This is the plane that I had for a while. This is a nice little season of my life where I almost killed myself a few times, but it was fantastic. It was so fun. I got stories. I got lots of stories on that one. My God. Oh, that plane, by the way, that was my hot date that night. Don't tell. No. Okay. This plane still holds. It's a Ted Smith Aerostar. It still holds the world's record for the world's fastest twin-piston airplane. Look at that. Look at that girl. That's my grandparents. This is a true earth story. They're like 90 now. And Danny and I, a few years back, were able to pay off all their debt and provide them some supplemental income so that they could, you know. And these two people, honestly, were the closest things I ever had to parents growing up. So, yeah. This is one of our family meetings that we did recently. This is last year. We did a lot of photos. In this one, we're trying to get that little, like, old school stoic look, you know, like just, I think the ladies did a lot better. They're like, man, you guys done this before or something. And this is a little later, goofing off and having fun. And this, my beautiful bride again. Another date night. Woo-hoo-hoo. She's the same girl as the blonde earlier, by the way. Just thought I'd tell you that. Okay, cool. Let's get back to what we're doing. Oh, God. I'm so in trouble. Okay. Life's no fun if you're not in trouble. Okay. So there are laws to wealth, okay? And you have to learn these laws. They've been at work your entire life, either for you or against you, okay? And if you refuse to learn them, then you're gonna continue to be enslaved. Okay? So whether you're consciously aware of them or whether you're actually practicing them, they are actually in motion. It's like gravity, right? I don't believe in gravity. Okay. Cool. Sweet. Awesome. Right? Like sometimes people do that. They just say, oh, I don't believe in that. It doesn't mean it's not real. There are laws, what I call the natural laws of the Creator, right? And so you need to learn these, right? And then Hosea says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, okay? All right, some disclaimers. You won't agree with everything I say here today. You're not going to like everything I say. Some of you are going to be seriously offended, and I will let you know that I'm an equal opportunity offender. So if you at one moment, if you think you like what I'm saying, be careful because the very next thing might really kind of, you know. So Some of you are going to love me, others are going to hate me, but here's the thing I can tell you is that what I'm sharing with you today is a result of thousands of hours of experience, research. I am a guinea pig for myself. I'm sharing with you what we've, you know, stuff we've done, stuff I've done, crazy crap, lessons I've had to learn, mistakes I've had to learn. You know, a lot of times people want to go out there, there's an old saying, I don't remember it exactly, but, you know, we're always looking to get advice from successful people, but you know what? You know how successful people got there? They made a lot of freaking mistakes. For reals. They made a lot of mistakes, you know? And so when I work with people, and I know Danny as well, but, you know, we're talking about mistakes that have been made. You know, okay, I know you were told to put your phone away. I want to tell you to pull it out right now and go download this app because I'm going to give you this. I'm going to be going quick and I'm probably going to skip some of these slides. So I'm going to make them available, but you're going to have to get them through the app. But the first thing is go to truewealthformula.com. Do it on your phone right now. Go to truewealthformula.com. Just put your email in there so you can get it. And then the next thing on your Apple phone or your Google phone, go to Apple Store or Google Play and download Wealth Builder. So just type in Wealth Builder. Who's on Wealth Builder in here? A few of you are in here, okay? So this is what I use now exclusively for working with just some clients, right? People that have applied what they're learning at First Steps and at Dynasty and these concepts and these principles but want to actually totally implement it, right? And get the financial game mastered. Okay, it is a skill set, and it's $1 million skill set. It's a power skill. I'm going to be sharing it with you here today, but it's just one exposure, and it's a shotgun blast. Okay, your life, a huge part of your life is finances. It's massive. And so anyway, get that app, get it downloaded now. You want to have it on your phone now, because I'm going to reference it later, and the last thing I want you worried about is, how do I do this? Okay, so download the app, right? Go to your app store. You need to do both those steps. But go to the app store and download Wealth Builder, because I'm going to start going really quick here, okay? Download Wealth Builder, and then you can use your Facebook account or Twitter to create a login or whatever, and then there's some resources in there, okay? All right, so True Wealth Formula. So let's get into this, okay? Number one key to wealth. This was taught to me by Damien, okay? He taught me this when I was young. He said the number one key to wealth is to get your money working for you instead of you working for your money, okay? Get your money working for you instead of you working for your money. How many of you think that sounds pretty simple? In fact, how many of you have heard this before? A few of you, some of you, okay? Well, I heard this, and like a lot of things, we hear it, and it makes, and we go, oh, that makes perfect sense. Yes. I know the key to wealth. And then a couple years later, I'm like, I've got a question. Right? Number one, how do I get the money? That's a good question, right? Actually, how do I keep the money? Because y'all are already getting plenty of it, okay? And then how do you get it to work for you? Okay, and the big issue with this, the real big thing, and we spend time starting another session, a four-part class, implementation class, this coming Thursday. And one of the very first things that we work on is getting real clear on a very specific goal. Okay, what you're looking at here is getting your money working for you instead of you working for your money. What that is earned income versus unearned income. Earned income is money you work for. Unearned income is money that's working for you. Okay? And so we spend some time getting very specific on what that number is. What is your number? What is the number that you need to cross that line to be financially independent? Because think about this, and I'm going off script here a little bit, but I will tell you that the modern definition and pathway and what, and I'm sure this will ruffle, we'll get started, let's start some offense right now. The modern, the whole thing today about retirement is a complete, total joke, okay? The whole idea of retirement, first of all, is a modern concept. It's an industrial age concept. It didn't exist more than 100 years ago. Never existed. And then statistically, people that retire become very miserable and end up dying soon and early. And then statistically, again, very few people are able to even retire. You're spending your whole life following these, quote, experts that say, this is how you do your financial planning. And they give you this entire model, okay? Modern portfolio theory is what it's called. And they build out this whole thing. And the entire thing is all about building that capital base up as large as you can and then eating it all and hoping you don't die before you run out of money. Now all that sounds great until their models don't work, which is what's happening now. For decades, they say 4% withdrawal. Now they're like, oops, that doesn't work anymore. So now they're changing it. So what happened is these people who are, quote, experts telling people, why isn't it working? The same reason why everything else is broken in our world today, or breaking. The world is in a transition state right now. There's a lot of disruption happening right now. We're in a transitory state in history right now. And so anything that you're applying right now, today, that was a model that was developed from the industrial age. Wow. Hello? Wow. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. Because that was a certain little thing for a certain moment in time. But the problem is now you have entire industries and an entire bureaucracy that's all there, and its entire existence is on that definition. That's a whole, we could talk for days on that, but I love it. I'm getting deeper in trouble by the minute. It's awesome. Okay? So we get into this and we set that. And so first of all, it's very specific. What is your specific goal? But then it's big, your legacy vision. Okay? There's just two parts to it. There's the very specific part. And if all you have is this big picture and that's not specific enough to build your plan. Okay? But if all it is just this specific thing, it's just money, that's not enough to drive your heart. Okay? So are you wealthy yet? No? Yeah, because some of you know what wealth is. Okay? Well, guess what? It's not your fault. That makes you feel good, right? Come on, raise your hand. Come on. It's not your fault. Okay? All right, so programming. So you've been conditioned since birth. Listen to this. You've been baptized into the religion of consumerism, debt, and consumption. Okay? That's your religion. That is the religion of this global system that we live in today. And anybody who tries to break out of that religion is going to be persecuted. Baptized since birth. Tens of thousands of images, okay, that you're exposed to every single day that are continuing to program you, keep you in that religion, okay? Guru myths, okay, so this is another part of the programming, okay? You have to show your success. Who's ever heard this before or been told this? Show your success, okay? How about this one? Fake it till you make it. Who's ever heard this? Okay? Little bit of leaven, little bit of truth mixed with some untruth. And if you don't know the truth, then you don't know how you put that program in your brain and it'll manifest into something that's totally not what you really want. Okay? You deserve to be rich. Who's ever heard this? Okay? So here's another one. Looking at other people's success and their possessions. Okay? Think and grow rich. Really? So I can just think it and do it? Partial truth, a lot of untruth there, okay? We graduate high school, but we can't balance a checkbook, right? We graduate college with a mortgage, but no house. Anybody doing this? And now it's even worse, right? We graduate college with a mortgage, but we don't have a house, and we also don't have a job. Why? Because they're still handing out degrees for industrial age stuff. Why do they do that? Because the institution's purpose, its reason for existence, its part of the religion of consumerism, debt, and consumption has to keep growing, has to keep feeding itself. God forbid you actually face the truth. We're not in the industrial age anymore. We're no longer in the information age. We're in the freaking machine age. And if you don't wake up really fast, it's over. And let me ask you this. Do you think the elite know this? Yeah, they know it. But we're not paying attention, are we? No. Okay? So, that's why the system's broken right now. That's why there's so much angst out there. That's why there's so much disruption. That's why all this stuff that's going on in politics right now is happening. Okay? It's happening all over the place. Because we just changed. We just entered a completely new time in history. But all those institutions that that rose up into power are fighting to maintain control. Okay, we're done. You can go. Bye. Okay? So we get these credit cards when we're young, and we think, wow, free money, right? So we're programmed, part of our religion. We're programmed that, hey, I can afford the payments. When you go buy a car, what do you think? Can I afford the payment? When you go buy a house, what do you think? Can I afford the payment? Okay? So the average Westerner earns $2 million in their lifetime. So congratulations, you're already a lifetime millionaire. So the question is, where does it go? Here's a law. Money goes from dumb to smart. Okay? 25% of the population's plan for retirement is winning the lottery. You don't have to take photos. I'm going to give you the PDF. Download the app. Hello, it's what I said a while ago. Download Wealth Builder. You'll get the PDF. Okay? So 25% of the population, their plan for retirement, which retirement is stupid, okay? It's not biblical. Why do you want to retire? It should be the golden years of your life. The only reason why you're working, unless you love what you do, is for the money. And if we can get you straight and fix it and get you on a path to where you become financially independent and your unearned income is equal to or greater than your earned income, you're now financially free. Then you have the freedom to give back. Then you have the freedom to do what you want, what you love. Ours is a society today where we say, go get a good job, get a good education, work for XYZ company, and when you're old, get the hell out of the way. So we kick our most valuable people of our society to the curb. The people that have fought the most wars, that have paid the cost, that have the most wisdom, and we say, just shut up and sit down and watch your TV and go drive your damn Winnebago. Here's some money. And we wonder why our society's broken. That whole system's broken now. Right? That whole path, that whole plan. Okay? So what if you get to the point where, okay, you have financial, let me ask you this. If you didn't have to work for money, what would you do with your life? Okay? So if you divided all the world's money up equally, because you get these people all the time, the socialists and the XYZists and the blah, blah, blahists. There's this thinking, this disease called just spread the money around. And it manifests in all kinds of different ways. The reality is that the majority of it will be right back in the same hands within a couple short years. Why? What do the wealthy know that you don't know? It's what they think. It's what they do. It's what's in here. I could hand you $1 million today. You think it'll solve your problems? Ain't gonna solve any of your problems. It's gonna make them worse. To much has been given, much is required. To the one who is faithful over the small thing will be given much. And then here's the twister. To the one who has a lot, more will be given. But the one who has little, even what he has will be taken away. Doesn't sound fair, does it? Because there are certain laws. Nobody will do for you what you won't do for yourself. And nobody gives you anything without something expected in return. Okay? So we have this lottery mentality. It's going to last forever. I remember when we were younger, you know, we had to learn this. Because these companies, particularly some of the home business companies and some of the other ones, oh, it's, you know, residual income, or it's going to last, or whatever. That's the sales presentation. When you learn marketing and you learn basic human behavior and psychology, then you can say, ah, okay, awesome. Presentation, not reality. Okay? The truth is there is always another rainy day. Okay? Just look at Joseph. Look at the story of Joseph. It tells you everything you need to know right there. There are seasons of plenty and seasons of little. Okay? So here's a study. Dumb people watch a lot of TV. It's a fact. The second you sit in front of a television, it starts to alter your brain beta waves. Alpha, gamma, beta. Okay? Literally start, there's a flicker rate in a TV that was developed decades ago. You can't see it, but it's there. And it's not just that, but it's the content and the whole thing. And it changes. Who's ever sat in front of a television and within a couple minutes you're like, vegetable. You even call it, I'm going to veg out, right? Okay? You're being programmed. Okay? But statistically, dumb people watch a lot of TV. So if you want to change your life, stop watching TV. Stop watching the Netflix series and all that consumption, all that stuff. I consume a lot of media, but I consume very, very little entertainment-based media. Okay? So money goes from dumb to smart. So where did your money go last month? Where'd your paycheck go last month? Did it go to dumb or smart? Think about it. Okay? What is wealth? Wealth is not what you show, it's what you don't show. Okay? Income is not wealth. If you can write a check and it's gone, it's not wealth. So if you've got 100 grand in your bank account and you think, well, I'm wealthy now, no, you're not. One check, boom, it's gone. One lawsuit, it's gone. One bank go out of business, it's gone. I've had all of those happen. Okay? If you have a nice income stream, but you lose it tomorrow, that's not wealth. Okay? Wealth is not what you drive, it's not where you live, and it's not what you wear. Wealth is what you can't see, not what you can see. He's a God of the unseen. The unseen is a higher, is more real than the real that we see. True wealth is multi-generational. It can change communities and local economies, and it takes time. Okay? And in Proverbs it says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children's children, and the wealth, and then it goes on to say, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And the question is, who's the sinner? And who's the righteous? Let me tell you something. It's not what our religious institutions have programmed us to think it is. You have to ask him to define it for you. Okay? You are in a war. I mentioned this earlier. Billions are spent by global banks and corporations and governments on advertising and programming to keep you an ignorant debt slave. Okay? And then in Proverbs it says, the borrower is servant to the lender. What does that mean? That means that the borrower is a slave to the lender. Okay? Our entire system is set up and designed to keep you in a debt matrix, feeding the Ponzi scheme. Okay? Here's a little financial lesson. How many ever heard the words liquidity? You ever hear that if you're in the financial industry, liquidity? What is liquidity? I mean, without getting too technical about it, liquidity is credit. If I get a margin call and say, oh, you got to deposit XYZ, it's because I don't have enough there. But if I've got credit somewhere, I can pull money out somewhere, and boom, I'm good, and I'm covered. So liquidity is essentially credit. What is credit? Credit is debt. What is debt?
Slavery.
He says it's slavery. Okay? So 45 years ago, America was the largest creditor nation in the world. We're now the largest debtor nation in the world. Okay? And not just America, but our entire world system is entangled in a fraudulent prosperity through debt. Okay, so you hear these terms, sovereign debt, derivatives, that type of thing. Okay, this is why the system has to keep growing. Why it can't not have growth. And every time there's a lack of growth, the world starts to just go crazy. Okay, because when an economy is based on a debt pyramid, it has to keep going. Okay, right now we're witnessing in slow motion the end of the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency and a transition stage from financial bondage to actual physical bondage. If you understand debt laws and you understand the natural laws and the laws of the Creator, these things happen in slow motion. They don't happen overnight, but a debt prison still exists. And that's what's going on in our country right now. Don't have time to talk much about it, unfortunately. The most serious, this is David Walker, he's the former Comptroller General of the United States, GAO, this is the General Accounting Office, okay, of the U.S. This is like the country's accountant, okay? And he said the most serious threat to the United States is not someone hiding in a cave in Pakistan or Afghanistan or whatever stand you want to put on there, but our own fiscal irresponsibility, okay? So this is a, you probably won't be able to see this, but again, you'll get access to the PDF, but this is the hockey stick, you know, the curve of the debt, and it goes through each administration, and you can trace it back. 1971, we went off the gold standard, and we lost our currencies tied to any form of hard, actual, real asset. And we went into a paper money system, completely paper, you know, full-blown paper money system, which now they're working to remove the paper out of the system. So it's all just digits. It's all electronics. Okay, now 99% of it is now anyway. But you see that growth curve there where the debt is off the charts, okay? Little civics lesson. Okay, this will be fun. How many want to have some fun? So the process starts with politicians promising some change, right? We're all familiar with this, aren't we? We just had a nice little election recently. They're trying to have it all over again. This is going to explain everything you need to know right here. Okay? And what they're really asking, what they're actually doing is asking the question, who wants some money? To which the public answers enthusiastically, I do, I want some money. And everyone who isn't offered money becomes unhappy and promises to vote for someone else come the next election. And there is always another election coming. They're already talking about the 2018 midterms. Give me a freaking break. Can we just get something done already? You guys just got done doing your little freaking party, and now you want to talk about it all? Because they got to keep us all.
God forbid anybody be held accountable. So they get promised some money too. And now it's up to the Fed and the Treasury to pony up the money, even though most of it is just debt masquerading as money. And then the pandering politicians bundle the money in pretty little packages with clever little names like Cash for Clunkers and deliver them to the voting public, making the voters happy. But our story doesn't end there, because the politicians on the other side of the aisle want to run the show. And so they make angry speeches about the ruling party ruining the country with their wanton spending. But come the next election, and there's always another election coming, the candidates from both parties dust off their time and poll-tested scripts promising change. Which is actually just another way of asking, who wants some money? And the cycle repeats, at least until the corruption within the system reaches a tipping point. Ultimately, the government can only pile up debt so high before the pile begins to topple, at which point the economy is screwed. Okay, so this is, you want to memorize this or think long and hard about it. We won't have a lot of time, but this is the cycle of democracy. You hear all this stuff about democracy. Our country wasn't founded as a democracy. It's a freaking republic. Did you ever once in your lifetime say, I pledge allegiance to the democracy for which is found, or to the flag? You never said that. It's a freaking republic. How many people in this room know the difference between a democracy and a republic? Very few, probably. Okay? So the average age of the world's great civilizations have been 200 years. Well, we're well past. Right? And these nations have progressed through this sequence from bondage to spiritual faith. From spiritual faith to great courage. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. Freedom is what leads to prosperity and abundance. From abundance to selfishness. From selfishness to complacency. From complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependency. And from dependency back into bondage. So every single year they release statistics, and it changes a little bit every year, but right now we're running about anywhere from 47 to, I've seen statistics as high as 52% of the population is paying a net, meaning by when they subtract what they pay and the benefits they get, net zero income tax. Okay? I don't know about you, but there's a lot of dependency out there right now. The reason why you see what's going on right now is because the federal government has become weaponized. And it's grown to a point, and the bureaucracy's grown so big, and you have such a large percentage of the population on both sides that are dependent. And when you have it that big, what it is people want to use force to impose their will on other people. That's democracy. Democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. Sounds fair, doesn't it? Majority rules. Democracy is mob rule. Democracy is a terrible form of government. Terrible. How could you say that, Hans? Oh my God, how could you say that? We're a democracy. No, you're not. You're brainwashed. You've been brainwashed. You've been programmed. A republic protects the rights of the minority from the majority. Because we have certain unalienable rights as a creation of the Creator. His law is very simple. Honor the Creator, honor His creation. Don't transgress. What does that mean? He gives us our free will. A lot of liberty to do what we want. We pay the consequence. If I'm talking to you and I'm not paying very good attention, I'm going to fall off this stage. And I'm going to pay the consequence. You're going to laugh, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to feel stupid. I might break an ankle, hopefully not, right? Consequence. If this was a 10-foot stage, different freaking consequence. If I do that, he gave me my own free will. I'm responsible. Now, ultimately, what he really wants us to do is to say, okay, Father, I trust you, and I release my free will, and I give it back to you. That's the restoration. Because what happened in the curse is we said, no, Father, I don't want to walk in communion with you. I want the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I want to be my own God and my own judge from right and wrong. See, he knew all along that we're incapable of judging right and wrong. So the natural law, honor the creator, honor his creation. So if I do this, is that somebody else's fault? Is that his fault? Is that his fault? But if I transgress now on somebody else's person or their property, now I've just transgressed. I'm not honoring his creation. Okay? So a republic, which is what our nation was founded under, was to protect the rights of the minority from the majority. And there are certain things in the Constitution and the way that it was originally established to do that. So democracy is a terrible, wicked thing. It's a very violent form of government because it is a majority using force to impose its will on a minority. So in our society right now, everybody's freaking out because for 8 years the gun was pointed like that and now it's like this. Doesn't feel so good when that gun's pointed in my face. Wait, no, I want the gun. It's all gotten too big, right? But there's a reason for that too. So dependence back into bondage. This is actually the cycle of humans because the government is us. We don't get the government we want, we get the government we deserve. So our own cycle, this is biblical, you can see this throughout Judges and Kings and all of that. This is the cycle of nations because nations reflect the human cycle. That's why I've been telling you, starting with yesterday, if it's hard, good. Step up on your own 2 feet. Grow a pair. Fight. Work hard. Think hard. Put the effort out. Right? Because that complacency and that prosperity leads to apathy, dependency, and back into bondage. Okay? So this is the life cycle of a democracy. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves something for nothing from the public treasury. From that time on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy followed by a dictatorship. I could talk about this for days, but I don't have. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is all the rabbit holes that you're welcome to find yourself in if you want. If you say, oh, this all sounds crazy. Yeah, you're right. It is crazy. Have fun. Okay. So the party is over, okay? So this is law, number one. You cannot spend your way to prosperity, okay? You cannot spend your way to prosperity. We are all, in this country, all of us are guilty of the sin of gluttony. What is that? Overconsumption. Idolatry, what is that? Idolizing other people, holding up other people's opinions, authorities, experts, higher than his. Covetousness, what is that? Looking at what somebody else has and say, I want that. Why? Because we don't trust our Father, gives us everything we need. You know what? He gives you everything you need, not everything you want. He knows what you need. And I tell you what is a place of freedom is when you can wake up every day and say, Father, I trust you. Thank you for providing everything I need. Everything. Because he knows. He knows me. He knows my wife. I don't know me. I don't know her. He created me. He created her. Is he my provider or not? Well, he's only my provider when I'm in church. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's only my provider when I'm in front of that motivational speaker. Oh, yeah. Here's my $1,000. Cancel my debt. He's only my provider when I'm feeling good. He either is or he isn't. You're either a son of the truth and a son of the living God, or you're a son or a daughter of the father of lies. That's what I had to ask myself. So then you say, well, crap. I better learn to listen to the right voice. Yes. 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 Second law, wealth is created through production, not consumption. You need to memorize these two. You cannot spend your way to prosperity. Wealth is created through production, not consumption. The elite know this. That's why when you come to these events, you're learning how to be entrepreneurial. You're learning how to either be an employeepreneur or an entrepreneur so that you can create value in the marketplace, so that you can produce. Yes, you're going to consume. Yes, you're going to have a roof over your head, and you're going to have transportation, and you're going to eat, and you're going to do these things. But wealth is created by producing more than you consume. Delusions, wishful thinking, and mind control. People look at the world the way they want to see it or how they've been told to view it, which is conformity, instead of as it really is. That is self-delusion, self-censorship, and intellectual dishonesty. Self-censorship, okay? And if you want to go deeper into this, look at 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Tell you everything you need to know about it, okay? When we actually look and we can, you know, we allow ourselves to delude ourselves, okay? In fact, that's the way they did what they did, okay? So everything will change now that we have a new president. So that's the illusion of false choice, okay? If we can just get X out of office, then everything will be okay. It was that last guy's fault. Which guy? His fault? Was it his fault? Is that the guy who did it? Huh? Oh, how about this? How about that? Was it that guy? That guy? Those two pals hanging out together there? Or was it his or her? Or... That one's a little disturbing. I'm sorry about that. Like I said, I'm an equal opportunity offender. And I guess the world wants us to think that we can all just be gender neutral now, so I figured what a great way to start, you know? Hey. So this is us. This is our state. This is our human state right now. Save us. You think, what does it have to do with wealth and finances? Everything. 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 Okay? So we want the government to save us. We want advisors and experts to save us. We want the lottery or some inheritance to save us. We say, well, maybe if we work harder. Maybe if I pray harder. I go to church and I get that message. I haven't been praying hard enough. I'm praying the wrong prayers. I have doubt when I pray prayers. Maybe if I volunteer more or I give more to my church. Maybe I just need to rely on myself. But if I'm doing that in the current state of victim identity and ignorance, it ain't going to happen. Okay? So what's the answer? So like, this is something for me. I ask myself this question. And I don't have, I mean, this is a whole training in and of itself. But this is, have you ever heard the phrase, money can't buy you happiness? Anybody heard this? Okay? So, and this gets into a conflict. This is a, the mind has a hard time holding two ideas in the mind at one time. When both things can be true, but they seem to be contradictory, the mind goes, eh, and it just breaks. So you have to be able to train your mind to think differently than how you've been trained as a Westerner to think. I think Eastern cultures do a little better in this area, okay? And so here we have four boxes, okay? The bottom left is poor and needy. This is kind of where we all start off in life, poor and needy. Who's ever been there? Poor and needy, right? Okay? To the top left is spiritual and broke. Anybody ever been spiritual and broke? So this is where people would say, I'm going to go after God. I'm going to be a missionary, right? And then you go and you raise funds, raise support. They call it raising support. Who've been there? But you're spiritual. You feel good. You're happy, okay? And you can see at the top. The top arrow goes up to happy, and then all the way to the right goes to rich, okay? And on the top right box is FSF, which is freedom, security, and fulfillment. That's what every single human being, human heart wants. We want to be free. We want to be secure. Nobody wants to live in a neighborhood where there's drive-by shootings happening every night. Right? I mean, you don't leave your door wide open while you sleep at night, right? But somehow it's like, seems stupid to have a secure country. You know? So security, people want security. Okay, and fulfillment, you can have those things, but if you're not fulfilled, you're going to have emptiness. You're not going to have happiness, okay? And then in the bottom right is what I call, this is my favorite guy, the rich, miserable bastard. Okay, so this is the journey of the rich, miserable bastard. So what this is here, now this is the thing, because if you're spiritual, you say, well, whoops, my butt did that. What the hell? Okay, so if you're spiritual, we're told, so we say money can't buy you happiness, and then we're said, well, money is the root of all evil. We hear these different things, right? So then we're going to go, is that even going to work? It's so pathetic, it doesn't even work. So you start down there. And you become more spiritual, you go to happy. So here's the thing. It's this tug of war between rich and happy, okay? Money and happiness, okay? And the deal is that if you, there's actually perfect consistency, but you can get your brain all twisted up pretty easily. God, I have 5 minutes? Good Lord. You're kidding me. Sorry. Told you I'd get in trouble. Okay. So the rich, miserable bastard, this is the typical thing. So to move along the money axis is skills. It's totally skill-based. But to move along the happiness axis is relationship-based. Okay? And they've done studies of this, and you want to know why most people, when they hit retirement, they become very unhappy and miserable? Because, and they did all the studies, and you want to know? So before retirement, do you know what their number one worry is? Money. Not having enough money. Do you know after a couple years of being retired, Do you want to know? They resurveyed the same people. You want to know what it is? Regardless of how much money they either had or didn't have once they retired, it didn't matter anymore. Within a couple years, they figured it out. But then what it was is lack of relationships. You want to know what it really was? Loneliness. Loneliness. Factor that into your financial planning. Why? Because it's not true wealth. Retirement is not true wealth. True wealth is what's in here first. It's the things you don't see. That's what's true wealth. So on the relationship, he says, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, everything you got. Love your neighbor as yourself. I can't love it. So what's really going on there is he's saying, honor the Creator, honor his creation. But somewhere in here, there's something in between. I can't love my neighbor as myself if I don't love myself. And I can't love myself if I don't see myself through his eyes. Never will be able to. If you don't know who you are, and you can't tell yourself who you are, only your Creator can tell you who you are. So the rich, miserable bastard gets to a point in their life, and this is the number one symptom of the rich, miserable bastard. They have no contentment. They have no fulfillment. So what happens is every time they get to what their goal is, it's like a mirage in the desert. And they reach out and they go to grab it, and as soon as it's in their hands, oh. Oh. I got it now. Oh, look. Oh. That's the journey of the rich, miserable bastard. No fulfillment. Crappy relationships, abusive relationships, in both directions maybe. So if you go back to the grid there, I can actually pursue, but this becomes a little compass, right? If I'm not working on developing skills, then I'm not achieving what I want to achieve, right? And I know I'm not supposed to just sit and do nothing. That's the wicked servant. Okay, so we can, can I start from the bottom left corner and can I run a path up towards the right, top right corner? I don't have to choose one or the other. It's not an all or nothing. Because the religion says, you have to be poor to love God. And then somebody else says, no. You have to have faith, and if you have faith, then God will bless you. So then what does that tell me? That says, well, okay, I guess if I have faith, and then I'm blessed, now I live in a nice house, and I have these things, we call that prosperity gospel, right? It's what it's known as. We call it the lottery gospel. So you get the poverty lottery gospel. They're both wrong. Completely perverted. If your gospel doesn't work, if it only works in your country and doesn't work in another country, it's not the real gospel.
That's right.
You're full of shit. So you're something else you believe in. It's not him. So here, I can pursue him, and I can also work that, but I got to keep the priority. And what Jesus was all about was telling you what the priority was. And if you read every single thing, he's a priority. He even said, there's nobody who gives up all these things for my sake and for the kingdom who will not have that and a hundredfold more, not only in the life to come, but in this life also. So a key to wealth here, right? Get your money working for you instead of you working for your money. How do we get there? So true wealth formula is a system that basically the foundation is knowledge of the creator, history, trends, and mindset. And today we're going to, and then there's three pillars, debt, income, and assets. And we'll go through this real quick. Debt. Okay. So this is the money quadrant. I'm going to go through this real quick. There's a PDF that you'll get through at the Wealth Builder app that you could download. And I would say you would print that out. If there was anything that you remember here today, whether it comes to finance and money, if you memorize this and you understand this concept, you will know more than 99% of your professionals, your experts, your, I'm talking because the whole thing, if you know this and you get this, okay, and this is something you could teach to your kids, your grandkids, you teach them about money. Okay, there's four types of debt, four types of assets. Okay. The bottom lower box is C for consumer. Or consumable, okay, or consumer debt. How many of you have ever had consumer debt in here before? On a credit card, right? This is stuff, you eat it, it's gone, then where does it go? It's gone, right? Okay, second one, so you have nothing to show for it when it's done. Okay, it could be bills, could be medical bills, could be travel. You have an experience maybe with travel, so that can be an investment and an education. But utility bills, things like that. People put that stuff on credit cards, okay? To the bottom right, depreciating asset. Okay? These are things like cars, boats, trucks, recreational vehicles, and houses. Okay? These are things, this is your balance sheet. Okay? And I'm going to tell you there's only one type of debt that is good debt if you're smart. Okay? And it's the top right one. But so DA is depreciating asset. So if your balance sheet, which is everything you own, plus or minus everything you owe, the difference is you have a negative net worth or a positive net worth, okay? So depreciating assets are assets, they end up as assets on your balance sheet. They're really liabilities, they're negative cash flow. So one of their primary characteristics is their negative cash flow. They cost you money every month, every year to hold it. Okay, how many of you have owned a house in here before? Does it cost you money to maintain your house? Do you pay taxes every year on your house? What happens if you don't pay taxes on the house you own? How can something be taken from you if you own it? Ooh. I guess maybe we don't own it. Okay, maybe we're renting like sharecroppers. Okay, so depreciating asset on the balance sheet. Okay, it's going to cost you money. This is where people, once you start to make a little bit of money, you start to acquire these things. Okay, a lot of people get stuck in that quadrant. They never go past that. So as their income grows, they just live in nicer houses, bigger houses, nicer neighborhoods, right? They take nicer trips. They drive nicer cars. But they're not getting richer every year. They're getting poorer every year. Okay, one of the things in the True Wealth Formula full course is we talk about this principle of Pareto's law, which is basically work expands according to the time allotted that's given to it. Well, the same thing happens with money. So that's why the more money you make, the more you spend. And it will always be that way. And I'm going to show you a formula and a system to completely stop that from happening. Okay, here in a couple minutes. Okay, and you cannot battle your mind on this. Your mind will win. You actually have to strategically do something that we actually call a non-discretionary formula or rule. And we set that up in our financial management so that before it even gets to the point where our mind can mess with us, remember, how old are you? Don't tell me, tell yourself. Or don't tell anybody if you don't want them to know. However many years you are old is how many years you've spent your life in this system being programmed and indoctrinated to what? Consume, spend, be in debt, okay? You're not going to come to one seminar and then walk away and do that unless you actually have a system that you put in place. And the system has to be stronger than you are, stronger than your subconscious mind, okay? So you will always spend what you make 100% of the time. So some people get out of that depreciating asset and they start to acquire appreciating assets. These are assets that 99% of people in this room and most people you meet are what they call investments, but they're not really investments, they're speculations. Okay? The number one the characteristic of these assets is that you buy, these are things like land. Who's ever bought land in here before? We have. Okay. A lot of real estate is an appreciating asset. Okay. Precious metals is an appreciating asset. So if you say, well, I'm investing in silver and gold, that's not an investment. So what we do is we actually categorize these based on the intent. So appreciating assets on the left, these are assets that you purchase thinking, hoping they're going to go up in value. Cash flow assets, top right, that's the only place where good debt can exist. This is where you have an underlying asset, like a rental property, that is cash flow positive every single month. It could be a dividend stock portfolio. There's a number of different things. Okay, we go through about 30 of them. Not all of them being cash flow assets, but 30 different ways to turn your money into money. So the cash flow assets is what the wealthy do. Is they invest in cash flow assets, and they're kicking. And so here's the number one difference, okay? So another example would be, so if you have if you're a partner in a business and you're not an active, it's not an active business, so it's hitting your Schedule E, that's a passive, okay, type of thing. Royalties would be cash flow assets, licensing fees, interest, any type of interest payments. And rent and royalties pretty much covers it. Okay. And dividends. Okay. Appreciating assets is going to be capital gains. So if you buy something and you think I'm going to buy this because I hope, so here's how you know the difference. It's based on the reason why you bought it. If the reason you bought it is because you think it's going to go up, it's an appreciating asset. If the reason why you bought it is because you crunched numbers and you ran the calculations and you know what it's going to pay you in positive cash flow, then it's a cash flow asset. Appreciating assets is speculation. It's not an investment. Why? You don't control it. Yeah. You totally have no control. You have no control. You say, well, the market, XYZ market's good right now, I'm going to buy it. Okay, you might be right. You might be wrong. Yeah. And all the experts tell you, well, get out of the market now. It's going to crash. Okay, I got out. How many times have experts been wrong? They're right once in a while, but even a broken clock is right two times a day. So when you hear experts giving their predictions, nobody can predict. How many of you have ever tried to predict a market before in here? How many of you have ever made money in a market, in any market? How many of you have lost money in a market? What you need is a system of how you manage risk and how you manage investments that has nothing to do with predicting the future. Okay? So this right here, this is huge. And the number one thing, if you do nothing else, besides the next thing that I'm going to tell you, okay? If you do nothing else, only buy cash flow assets. Learn what the difference is. Learn what cash flow assets are and only invest in cash flow assets. Now let me tell you one other thing, okay? The number one, here's another thing that you know. How many of you want to know why most people, except the ultra elite and ultra wealthy, but most everybody else, always focus on appreciating assets? How many of you want to know why? I know people that have made millions and millions and millions of dollars in real estate. And what they did was, while the market was, every market booms and busts. Every market. Every market goes through trend uptrends and corrections and downtrends. Some markets have bigger booms and busts. The commodity market has massive booms and busts. Okay? One of the things we really focus on is getting you to where you don't just have a one move, where you're not just a one-trick pony. Because you want to be able to zig and zag. I've known people that have made millions of dollars in, like, real estate, for example, And then, but what they did was they levered up. And they kept levering up, levering up, levering up, levering up. All of a sudden the market went bust and boom, whole thing, lost it all. Why? Because it was all appreciating assets. It was all speculation. 100% speculation. So here's how you know, and this is why everybody, this is why people do this. Even very successful people do this. I used to do this. And I knew because of what Damien taught and years, but it took a long time where I finally said, and went through the whole everything, the balance sheet, got it all together, and identified every single thing on there. Is this a cash flow asset or appreciating? I went all the way down through, developed ratios, restructuring the whole balance sheet. Right? Now I do 80-20. 80% cash flow, 20% appreciating. We set up target ratios. So what we do in the class is we take through that, and so you get that same thing. So you're not making a mistake. But here's the number one reason why what happens is because appreciating assets are exciting. They're exciting. Cash flow assets are boring. That's why. That's why. Okay. All right. Let's get into. So this is having to do with the debt pillar. This is a law, okay? Live off the 70% of your income, okay? This is going to get into what we call our ND1, non-discretionary number one, okay? What this means is it's a non-discretionary system and rule that you put in place to counteract your screwed up brain. Your brain is going to sabotage you every single chance it gets. So you have to be smarter than your subconscious brain. Okay, you actually have to set up systems in place ahead of your subconscious. You have to use your free will. This is what it is. We are mind, body, and spirit. Our mind is our mind, which is our thoughts, our will, and our emotions. And I'll show you a slide later, and I'll probably skip over it, but how many of you think you make decisions logically and rationally? You don't. So human beings don't make, we think we do, but when we come to our decision, we're completely irrational and illogical. So our emotions end up, what ends up happening. See, what he wants is he wants to lead our will and our will to lead our emotions and our thoughts. But what happens is our emotions, it's the reverse. So we have to have systems that counteract that. Does that make sense to anybody? So you guys, just live off of 70%. This is part of that system right here, okay? Stop living above your means. You can produce more than you consume. We already covered that. Two simple examples of why people never achieve finance. This is simple, like, you know, stuff. Carrying credit card balances, right? I mean, the average balance, 18%. And then people buy new cars every year. So we have these habits, these things that we do that just keep us in that debt prison, okay? So this is how we manage money in TWF. Most people budget in dollars. We never do that. The wealthy don't manage money by dollars. They manage money by ratios. The wealthy don't manage dollars and cents. They manage by ratios. Can I say that again? The wealthy don't manage by dollars. They manage by ratios. Okay? And so how many of you have ever tried to make a budget in here before? Anybody? You sit down with somebody and say, oh, you need to do a budget. And then what do? Well, I have $1,000 a month for housing and $500 a month for food and all this sort of thing. It doesn't work. How many of you have ever created a budget and not followed it? Every freaking hand in the room goes up. Why? It doesn't work. I have a good friend who's been an accountant for 40 years. I said, Manuel. And he teaches. He teaches all his budget. He has, you know, all everything. I said, how many people do that? He's like, less than 5%. Why do you teach it then? Why do you freaking teach something that nobody does, that doesn't work? Want to know why it doesn't work? It's your freaking brain. Because you're always going to break the rule. So here's what we do. So most people do it in reverse order. What we do is flip the whole thing upside down, inside out. And this goes to the principle you guys have been learning. Look at what the masses are doing. Do the opposite. Okay. So here's the key right here. This is ND1. This is money management. This is like there's like two phases to what we go through, but this is like part of phase one. So number one, you need four separate bank accounts. Okay. And this is based off of the law that I kind of talked about earlier, but the money is always looking for a place to go. If you don't tell it where to go, it's going to tell you. So what we do is we does anybody understand what non-discretionary means? Non-discretionary means is that there's no discretion. What is discretion? It means you have a choice to choose, oh, I'm going to do this or not. We know that the mind, 99% of the time, is making irrational, emotional decisions, not logical, rational decisions, especially when it comes to managing our money. So we're going to create a rule and a system to counteract that. Okay? So what you do is you have four accounts. The first one is your giving account, which should probably be a checking account. Okay? And I don't think I have to hit this very hard in here, but I'm sure you should be giving, regardless of what your spiritual or your religious convictions are. You should be giving. That is a law of the Creator. Give, and it will be given unto you. And in some places, have been perverted to say, well, come and give me an offering. That's a marketplace rule. That's a marketplace law. If you want to succeed in business, give. It's a lot bigger than how we let other people or institutions define it for us, okay? And I know Danny hits on this, and we've hit it over the years, but if we give, what we're doing is we're showing that we can be trusted with a little bit. We're showing our, because he says, he gave us dominion. But part of that was the responsibility of stewardship. Dominion doesn't just mean dominate. I mean, it does, but not the way that we might think it does, okay? So giving is huge. If we actually gave, if believers actually gave, that's his government system right there. That's his original system. You want to know what his original system was for government? That was it. And then you had regional judges that were people of wisdom and experience that would judge matters. And the law was all based on honoring the natural law of honor the Creator, honor the creation, don't transgress. And then the people said, no, but we want a king. And he says, you don't want a king? I said, no, but we want a king. They have a king. We want a king. No, you really don't want a king. Yeah, we want a king. You don't need a king. You think you want a king, but you don't need a king. This is what's going to happen. If you have a king, all your sons are going to be taken to be in his army and build his vineyards and his fields. And your daughter's going to be taken. And you're going to give of all of your produce and all of your fields. And you're going to be in wars and you're going to be taxed. And you're going to be this and you're going to be that. He told him exactly what it was going to be. And they said, no, but we want a king. It is. You know? So this is how you do it. So you do these. And then, so number two is your wealth account. And that would be a savings account, or it could be a brokerage account. And then number three is your debt. If you have debt, that would be a checking account. And then number four is a checking account. That's your operations account or your bills account, 70%, okay? So that's what you live off of is your 70%. You say, I can't live off of 70%. I'm barely living off of my 100% right now. Let me tell you this. If you doubled your money right now, you doubled your income right now, and within a couple of years, you'd be telling me the same damn excuse. I could barely live off of my 100%. You will. This is how you do it. You want to do it or not do it? Yes. Is it going to be hurt? Is it going to be painful? Yes. Good. That means you got to downsize. You got to eat clean food. You got to think ahead. You got to plan. You got to use your will to be proactive and think, what do I have to do? It takes work. It's a little bit painful. Do you want to get to wealth or not? You want to achieve true wealth or not? You want to be financially independent or not? You want to help your kids or not? Grandkids or not? This is the formula right here. It's the simplest thing in the world, but people won't do it. And you know the worst people are the ones that are, oh, I'm already making money. And then they call 5 years later, oh, I'm just not really doing it. Well, have you done this yet? No. And then another call, I'm going to be retiring pretty soon. Never enough. Never enough. Because you can never fight your ability to expand and consume and use what you have. Never. Will never happen. You are not strong enough to do that to your mind. So you have to set this system up. So this is what you have. You have four accounts. Every single dollar you receive, regardless of the source of money. Okay, now for what I do with our wealth, our unearned money, that, it doesn't even go through, it's 100%. It's just caught in its own closed loop, and it's compounding every single month. Okay, but earned money, earned income, you go right through this system right here. The checks go into your checking account, and you transfer. You do 10% transfer into your giving. You do 10% in your wealth account. You do 10% into your debt. You use the debt accelerator, the war on debt, to pay your debt down. As soon as your debt's paid off, that debt one is gone. You should be sticking 20% a month into your wealth account. That wealth account starts as a savings account or a brokerage account, but over time it turns into a whole portfolio. It's your balance sheet. It turns into a portfolio of rental properties, a portfolio of dividend-paying stocks, a portfolio of bonds, a portfolio of all kinds of these assets. It becomes an orchard. This idea of retire, build up this capital, and then eat your seed and hope that you would have some left before you die is so stupid. Why do that when if you follow this system, you can walk out into the orchard and pick the fruit? How many of you have ever been in an orchard before? Dude, is it the most awesome thing in the world or what? When I was a little kid, sometimes I would go into an orchard and I would just like walk around for, it's amazing, right? It's incredible. So you can't ever get to the orchard if you're constantly eating your seed. And if you're exposing your seed to an environment that is 100% speculation, that you hope is going to be at X when you need it, and then you're just going to eat that seed. It's stupid. Okay? So this is the system right here. And so 20% should be there, but if you have debt, then you knock, you know, you get rid of the debt and you do that. Okay? You deposit, you do the transfers. Now what you've done is you've taken the money off the table. If you're in a casino, and you ever been in a casino before? Who's ever won? Yeah. How many, who's ever won and then left with nothing? Okay? How many of you ever heard this? The house always wins. Everybody ever heard this? Okay, it's true. Okay? You want to know what the house is? Your subconscious mind. The only way you will win against the house is to take the money off the table. If you're if you're gambling and you're in a casino, and Danny did this, she came home with it was an interesting, yeah. Yeah, anyway, that's a totally different story, and I'm way so in trouble already. I can't get, maybe I should get, you know, no. So she was on a business trip, and she's sitting down. I'm going to get in more trouble. All right, it's awesome. Okay, and these guys are like, so she kind of like had to, anyway, I forgot who it was. Anyway, it was a vendor. And so they were playing, and they're like, hey, put some money in. She's like, I don't do this. And then they're like, oh, put it in. So then she does, and then she loses, and then they, so they're telling her, they're teaching her, and then she just starts nailing. It was blackjack, right? So she's just nailing it. She gets all the way, up to like $8,000. But what happened was, this is how she did it. Every time she won, she's taking stuff, putting it in her purse. Boom, boom. And they get pissed if you do that. They start looking at you. If you're winning and you're taking stuff off, they get pissed off, dude. They do not like that, because that's, you're gone. Once you're out, because you can only lose what's on the table. What they want is, they want you to keep it all on the table. This is what you have to do with your money. You have to do this with your money. You will lose everything you have. You will spend everything you have. You will consume everything you have. You will eat everything you have. And you will make stupid decisions, and you'll hand it all to something, and you'll call it an investment, but it's really speculation. And it'll end up blowing up right when you need it most. Instead of 20 years from now, you've got a whole portfolio of rental properties that are gushing cash flow every month, or dividend paying stocks, or any number of the dozens of other things that you could be doing. Okay? So this is how you take this simple thing. People look at this and go, that's why people don't follow it. They think it's too simple. This week, go to your freaking bank and get this done. Okay? And every deposit, if you find a dollar on the ground, you put the deposit in, don't use cash. You can't track cash. Okay? If you get a gift for your birthday, you stick it in there, you run it through this filter. It's non-discretionary. Okay? You get a bonus at work, you run it through this filter. You get a raise at work, you run it through this filter. You have a huge month in your business, You pay yourself profit, you run it through this filter. Make sense? Compound debt elimination formula. Okay, you guys are very familiar with this. I'm not going to go into all the details. There's several different ways to calculate this, and we have a calculator now that'll crunch three different methods, because it depends. It's just numbers, folks, okay? But it's just you're using compound interest instead of it being against you, for you. How many of you have debt in here still? Okay. If you have debt and you're not using war on debt, like for reals, right? Now if you have debt and you are using war on debt and you're in the process of eliminating it, then you're on track. Awesome, okay? One thing that I've found is a lot of people pay their debt off and then they rack it right back up. They come to First Steps of Success and they see that, boom, I'm gonna get that. A couple months down the road, to get on stage, I paid off my debt. You know, they get their photo, they get it on Facebook, da, 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 and then a few months later, back in debt. Who's ever had that happen in here? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Why does that happen? The reason that happens is because you don't understand what you were actually doing. You got motivated emotionally, which is a good thing. We need our emotions. Our emotions give us fuel, give us fire, help us to get stuff done, okay? So you have to put yourself in that environment to do that. So you got motivated, you did it, you got it done, but then as soon as that motivation went away, it was gone. So you went right, so then your default, the house, your subconscious mind took over again. Oh, I know life happened, you had a medical bill, this happened, whatever, okay? What this is a process of restructuring your balance sheet. This goes back to that quadrant that I showed you earlier about restructuring your balance sheet and getting you out of the debt prison and getting the money over into the cash flow quadrant side, okay? But all this is a chart. It's a list of all the debts, the balances, right? You list them all out, and then you assign a priority, and when it's all said and done, you accelerate. So once your debt number one is paid off, then you apply that payment to the next one. And so you're compounding, you're snowballing. Sometimes it's called an avalanche, whatever. No matter what you call it, it's freaking math. Okay? The reason why War on Debt's the best program out there is because she freaking gets you in your head. Like a virus in your mind. And she exposes the ridiculousness of the consumption. And gets you like, yeah, I'm going to eat everything in my pantry. Right? Who had this happen? Okay. So that's the best system out there. Nobody talks about that. People, there's all kinds of people, do this, do the formula, whatever. Nobody does that. Nobody actually gets you, gets your brain to go, whoa, I'm going to do this. Who does that besides Danny Johnson? So you got to do that. So, freaking awesome. Okay, I assume everybody knows this. If you don't, then you can go through War on Debt. If you're in the process and you're doing that already and you're making it work, then, that's kind of where what we're doing comes into play. So there's two economies. So this is kind of an income, real quick, income exercise. So there's two types of economies. There's the time for money and the results for money economy. Okay, there's actually three. The third one is your money for money. So there's your time for money, then there's results for money. Those are both earned income, and then there's unearned income, which is your money working for you instead of you working for your money. Okay, so here we're talking about earned income. So time for money is when you trade your time for money. That's linear skill set. Okay, it's very linear. There's only 24 hours in a day. Results for money is geometric. It has leverage. Okay, that's why all these skills that you're learning here, being at First Steps to Success every single month, I mean, I'll pound on you. If you guys think 1 year and you think that's it, if you're not committed for 5 years, come on. There isn't a better place to learn these skills than in these environments. She's the best there is. There's nobody better than Danny. You find anybody else out there that has as much success stories as she's been able to develop over the years. Find a single one. And she's not going to teach you how to be a rich, miserable bastard. You're going to actually learn how to deal with your heart crap. How many of you have doubled your income since you've been plugging in? Grown your business. Increased your income. Right? But you got to stick with it. You got to run a program. You know? We all have to. There's things I have to listen to and read on a regular basis to keep my head where it needs to be. This environment. So you can't just be like, am I going to go? Like, as soon as you start and ask that question, you're dead. Right. You lost the battle right there. Right. Am I going to this next event? Boom. Wow, you're freaking hosed. You're foobarred. You just got to be like, okay, like how much would it cost you in a education right now today to know that you would come out and you're going to have a six-figure income? What would that college education cost? How much? $200,000? $200,000. And how many years of your life? How long? How many of you say more than 4 years? 6 years? So if you want to get a college education to make 100 grand, it's going to be 6 years and it's going to cost 200 grand. And you're freaking whining and crying about 5 years here when you're going to, what the? And you let all those 98%ers F with your head about being here? Aren't you making any money yet? Serious? You let those people mess with your head? Why? Because society has programmed and it's okay to go get that college degree, $200,000. And now, no guarantee you're going to make 100 grand. You think if you plug into this event for 5 years and you do every single month and you come, you learn and you do, 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 you learn and you do. You think if that happens, you're not going to be 5 years from now making $100,000 from that education? You're learning from a master. And you know the skills that she teaches are new economy skill sets. That machine age that I talked about earlier, that artificial intelligence, you want to know the two things? The two things. That's going to replace more jobs than you could possibly imagine. There are careers today that people think, oh, it's going to be safe because I'm a surgeon. Are you kidding me? Robots are doing surgeries now cheaper, faster, and more accurate with less mistakes. Artificial intelligence is diagnosing disease. I can tell you story after story after story. They have a bot that has a 70% win rate for getting people off of parking tickets. It's an attorney. It's a specialist in parking tickets. It's a freaking bot. If you were an attorney with your $250,000 education and you specialized in parking freaking tickets, which I don't know why you would do that, but if you did, you're just freaking just got toasted. The largest form of employment among men in our country is driving. Transportation. Over 13 million men in the workforce rely on, and families. It's going to be gone. What do you think Uber is? You think Uber is a car company? It's a freaking technology company. It's an artificial intelligence company. It's happening, and it's happening fast. Time is short. You don't have time to be dicking around. I'm sorry, man. You want to get offended about something somebody says? You better get your head out of your ass. Talking about your life. I'm talking about your family. Your kids and your grandkids. You need to be learning. You need to be freaking learning. Stop watching TV. Stop doing stupid stuff. Start investing in yourself. So new economy skill sets. So the number two things that these robots and artificial intelligence are going to have a hard time with, two things. Number one, creativity. And that's already a problem because they've already now, artificial intelligence is now replicating itself. Google's already announced that. But creativity specifically in the form of creative problem solving. And then the people interaction. Why? And this is the terrible part about it. There are things where I'm like, dude, I'd rather deal with the freaking robot.
Yes.
Because half the people I'm dealing with are complete morons and idiots.
Yep. Yep.
Like the competence level is like.
Terrible.
Yep. I had to use Uber yesterday. And I've used Uber, and I've had some great experiences with it, but damn, dude. I was like, she had the GPS. I got mine because I'm making sure. She had hers, and it's saying going this way. It's saying going this way. She's going this way with her blinker going freaking left. And she's like, I don't know where I'm going. And I'm like, I think you want to turn around. Okay, I'm lost. I don't know. I'm like, no problem. I'm like, no problem. So I just started telling her what to do. I was like, just go here. Oh, thank you. It's cool. Right? So the skills that you're learning here, you have to apply yourself. When you're in these exercises, don't be all like, eh. Like, turn your brain on. Use your brain. Put the effort out. You don't have time for fear. You don't have time for offense. You don't have time to be afraid. You don't have time to have an ego that says, well, I don't agree. You have to start preparing now. You're behind. You're not ahead. You don't have time. You need to start preparing yourself and your family and your kids. You can't do it for them. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do for you what you won't do for yourself. But you need to learn new skill sets. So where are going to be the people that survive this thing that's coming? It's people who are very good interaction with people. Why do, I don't want to go, look at Amazon. They're like, you guys remember Pac-Man? Remember like Super Pac-Man? Amazon's like Super Pac-Man. They're like, they're just like eating up everything. Why? Why do I want to go to some, I want to get in my car, go somewhere, and I just, boom, it's going to be here in 2 days. So the inner person skills, those sales skills, marketing, creative problem solving, okay, problems in the market, identifying what those problems are, having that value, those relationship skills, all that, these are called, these are intangible skills, okay, and these are power skills, and they are the things that are going to help you survive what's coming and thrive, okay, and she's the master. So back to the point I was making earlier, like 5 years, you need a new degree. Stop fooling around. What you know today is already obsolete. It's gone. Get over it. Don't feel bad. Don't beat yourself up. It's good that you learned something. I can't tell you how many damn things I've learned. Make me go crazy. I have to forget some things and then learn them again and then, but the brain is a muscle. So just don't, don't mourn yourself. Don't give yourself a pity party. Just say, the next 5 years, what am I going to master? It takes 5 years to master something. What's it going to be? I'm going to skip this because we're... I won't. So you can see this real quick, but you can do an income evaluation. And so this is just listing the types of income that you have, listing whether they're linear or geometric, okay? So if you are in a time for money economy, start learning. All the skills that Danny teaches you are results for money skills. None of them are time for money skills. They're all results for money skills. When you have results for money, then your pay is contingent on your results, not your time.
That's right.
If you're a surgeon, you make a ton of money, you get in an accident, and you break you lose your hand, that's it, game over. There's only 24 hours in a day, so what's the difference between the person that makes, $50,000 a year versus the one that makes $500,000 a year? The one person doesn't have more time. Okay, and you can learn it. I know sometimes there's gifting. I know there's some things I'm like, I suck at this. I'm like, but I can learn. There's things that are not my area of gifting, not even something I enjoy, but I kind of need to do it. So I got to bite the bullet. Okay. You bet. Oh, you are welcome. Okay. So we have this formula, KSCA, which is knowledge, okay, specialized knowledge, skill, contacts, and action. So those are the four areas that I like to focus on with people. Because some people, sometimes knowledge is a big thing. Skill is huge, but skill and knowledge aren't exactly the same. And contacts, how many of you know people that are just great networkers and they're great? Sometimes they're not, they don't have personal, their skill is the networking side of it. And that's valuable, okay? That's why when you come here, even if you're an introvert, you know, do your best to get out and meet and greet and like connect and make, you know, do that. Build your network here. Make those relationships. These relationships that you guys are making here are hugely valuable, massively valuable, okay? And then the last one is action. Man, I'll tell you what, the person who is all out massive action, just get it done, that's a high value person. And you can make up in action what you lack for in knowledge and expertise. If you work harder, you're going to learn. You're going to accelerate your learning curve. If everybody else is just talking to 10 people a day, you talk to 20.
That's right.
If somebody says you got to get 1,000 no's, you go get 2,000.
Yep. So true.
It's a freaking arbitrary number. So that's four things, okay? All right, what you want to do is you want to get this in the crossfire so that you're driving your income up at the same time you're driving your debt down. And anybody that's been in the military understands this. The last place you want to be is in a freaking crossfire, okay? That's not a good spot at all. You're messed up. You better call on freaking air support because you're done if you're in a crossfire. If you're pinned down and you've got the enemy on you one side and he starts flanking you, that's it. You're toast. So who's the enemy in this situation? Your subconscious mind. What we're doing is we're using military warfare against your own freaking subconscious mind. Okay? We put these systems in place so that you're just nailing it. Okay? Assets. Only reason to increase cash flow is to roll into passive assets. Okay, we already kind of covered this, right? Know the difference between assets and liabilities. Assets put money in your pocket. Liabilities take money out. So here's kind of goes back to that quadrant that I was talking about earlier. The poor, they buy things they call stuff, but they never invest. So what are they doing? They're accumulating consumer, right? The bottom left box. The C, consumables, consumer. That's where their debt is. That's where their purchasing is, okay? The middle class, they spend money on things they think are assets, but they're really liabilities. So what are the middle class doing? They're buying depreciating and appreciating asset. Those are all negative cash flow assets. They cost you money. If you own property because you think it's a good investment, you have no control over that investment, but every single year you get a tax bill. That's negative cash flow. If you have precious metals, you think it's going to go up in value, but you don't know when, and you can't control it. And every single year, you get, if you have a significant amount, it's in storage, and you get a bill.
Yeah.
It's a negative cash flow asset. Yeah. Okay, or you store it yourself, but you still have a cost to that. Yeah. You know, you got to protect it. You got to take care of it. Okay, the rich roll their income into assets that spin off more income and cash flow to compound their wealth. So what they do is they create a closed loop cycle between their income. They cap their income through the formula that I showed you earlier. They siphon it off into cash flow assets, and then they create a separate closed loop on the cash flow assets, so they're feeding themselves and feeding the balance sheet. Okay? We don't have time to do this, but this is what it kind of looks like in a really terribly five-year-old drawing. Meaning 5 years old, like, if I was a five-year-old, this is about how good I would make it look. Actually, a five-year-old would make it look better than this, but okay. So you're driving the debt down, you're jacking the income up, but then as the income is spinning into the cash flow assets, it's creating more income.
Yep.
You don't consume that, you close that loop.
Yep.
It's off the table.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So if you increase your earned income, fine. You're already living off of those ratios. You want to live a more nicer life, fine, increase your earned income. Live off of your 70%.
Yep.
You already got your ratios. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. You know, if you want to live in a freaking tiny house and then spend $2,000 a month on eating out at restaurants or whatever, and it's in your 70%, whatever, that, you know, is like not kosher, not cool, have fun. If you live within the non-discretionary rule and the ratios, you're fine. Does that make sense? Okay. So if you want to live, if you want to do more, travel more, do more things, increase your income, which is going to happen. Who's going to be here for 5 years? Don't raise your hand if you're full of crap. I'm serious. Who's going to do the 5 year, you're getting a new degree starting today? I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care. I've only been here. No, that's nothing. Your head was all jacked up. Okay? Starting today, new degree. Go ahead, raise your hand. I want to see. It's okay if you don't, because you should never say you're going to do something if you're not going to do it. Never. You should only commit to something when you know you're supposed to commit, when you know it's from Him. He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is from the evil one. Compounding assets is what we do. This is what I just told you, essentially. Okay, you take that and you just create that closed loop circle. This goes back to this thing right here, where at the end of this, we had 3,400. And if you keep doing that and you keep doing that, the things just keep growing and growing and growing and growing, and you're going to have a nice little fun time. Smart investing. These are rules for smart investing. I don't really have time to go over it, but, you know, we got a diversify rule here. And, you know, this is like risk management. And this has been developed into a full-blown kind of like very systematic. This kind of gets into, I really didn't cover ND2 because I don't have time. Non-discretionary 3 gets into the actual investing side and how we set up rule systems that are non-discretionary to direct our investing, to manage our risk, right? So that we're not caught in like all the headlines. Man, if you listen to the headlines, you're foobarred if you're an investor. You're screwed. Because you're doing this, and then you're doing that, you're listening to all these, quote, experts. Let me tell you something. When you hear something from an expert, it's already too late. CNBC is an infomercial. If you're hearing from, you know, whatever, Tom, Dick, and Harry, or whoever the latest, you know, forecaster is, what they're doing is they're selling a book. They're pitching a story. You can't invest from that. If the information is that public and it's being broadcast out there and you're hearing it through mass media, so now you're just in your emotions and you're like, and then you make a mistake and go, oh, I don't know what to do. Let me give it to an expert. And then your freaking expert makes a mistake. Why? Okay? So that's what all that stuff was. Okay. They say timing is everything. Oh, you never lose money in the stock market. Never lose money in real estate. And then they say, no, you got to buy low and sell high. How's that working out? Okay, so what the wealthy do is they invest in cash flow. I talked about this earlier, human nature, logical or rational. Okay, or logical and rational, or emotional and irrational. So this is your mind. Okay? You have 108, you have 180 cognitive biases. 180. Freaking 180.
What the heck is a cognitive bias?
Exactly. It's your mind effing with you. Is what it is. Okay? Remember earlier when I talked about self-censorship? Okay? Mind control? Your own mind is messing with you. 180 different biases. They could be fear. They could be all these different things. Social pressure, conformity. 180.
What are they?
Oh, pfft. And there's these quadrants. Cognitive bias freaking code. Some person coded that crap. So how are you going to, you know, you're going to go out there and all these impulses and all this data and all this information, and you're going to go try to manage money and you don't have a system? So this is what happens, right? We know we're supposed to buy high and sell low, but that's not what we do. We buy at the top when we're greedy because we're hearing about it. Oh, you can never lose money in real estate. Oh, the market's really up right now. We have no system. We go and we buy, and then it starts to go down, and we sell. And then we repeat it over again until we go broke. So statistics, the individual investors are terrible investors. Here's the crazy thing about it, what they don't want to tell you, is the studies and the research has shown that statistically, professional investors and money managers aren't any better. They're also terrible. They fail to beat the average, to even hit the averages and the what they call benchmarks. So you have to learn this skill. You have to learn it. I finally got to a point where I said, I don't need to pay somebody else to lose my freaking money. I can do that all by myself. I can have a little fun, and I might learn something. Instead of when I pay somebody else, I could tell you stories. I could tell you so many stories, right? When I pay somebody else, I don't get the benefit of the education. If I do it and I make a mistake, you better be damn sure I'm going to learn from that mistake. Because that mistake's going to be my prisoner the rest of my life. He's going to be my slave, and I'm going to extract a lot out of his ass. I hate making mistakes. I hate it. But you can't avoid it. You're going to make a mistake. So that's why we have our investing rules. Start small, grow big. The small portion is your tuition. So you start small. You learn. Okay? So this is the whole cycle, right? This is the emotional cycle that happens. And it's all at the wrong time, at the wrong place, 100% of the time. So this is why you have to have these systems, these non-discretionary filters and systems. What is money, right? History of money, if you're interested, is a money as debt video, great little video. Federal Reserve note, you can pull out your dollar bill and you can look at it. It says Federal Reserve note, says all kinds of great things on it, you know. It's debt. It's a debt instrument, okay? Fed prints the money, loans it to the U.S. government at interest, which must be paid back with more money borrowed at interest. The U.S. citizen is collateral for the loan, and the income tax is how the interest is paid on the debt. Okay, so that's the system, and you can go down that rabbit hole, and it might sound a little crazy, but if you actually want to go down the hole, you'll find that there is a hole there. Yeah, go watch Money as Debt. It's a great little video, okay? No other empire in history has had unlimited ability to print money like the U.S., okay? U.S. dollars lost 50% of its value just in the last 15 years, 98% since the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. Gold and silver is the only real money. It's been that way for thousands of years. So what allows this to continue is foreign investment, quantitative easing, other things. I showed you guys this earlier. How long can it continue? I don't know. So what to do? The debt. So more debt. So this is their solution, right? We have too much debt. Let's have more debt. I mean, that's the solution. More debt to solve the problem of already insurmountable rising debt is absurd. The government's refusing to cut spending. But you guys have to understand that this is us. It's us. We don't want to do what we have to do. We want that savior. We want our programs. We want our benefits. We want our national health care program or whatever it else is that it is. And really, it's really not about that. That's just the infomercial that's sold. What's really going on is the core structural system is broken. And there's other, anyway. So some people think that eventually we're going to hit some kind of a hypercurrency type thing like they did in Weimar, Germany. And this is giving you an idea of that. Towards the end, their currency was devaluing by one half every 2 days. So could you imagine that? You have $100 today, and in 2 days, it's only worth 50. 2 days later, it's only worth 25. I mean, imagine that, right? So that's happened throughout history, Zimbabwe, other places. That was one of the reasons why World War II started, was because, you know, they had all these financial problems and the inflation, and they tried to print money, but they didn't have a reserve currency status, so they had a limit to how much money they could print. So then they had to have an enemy and a problem and a reason for it, and we all know the story that happened, you know. So war is always how governments, that's how distractions, war is distraction, okay, and it's also very profitable. And so historically, governments have used war, and the elite, they're doing business. War is business. But they're actually making, there's business deals being made, you know. But it's a tribal thing. Human nature is very tribal. So it's like my tribe against yours. Ugh, I don't like it. Mm. Yeah. Are you a lover of truth? All truth passes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. Third, it's accepted as being self-evident. Okay? Okay, this will be fun. Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. That was Rothschild, banker. Okay, money is the new form of slavery and distinguishable from the old simply by the fact that it is impersonal. There is no human relationship between master and slave. None are more enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. This is from Benjamin Franklin. The inability of the colonists to get power to issue their own money permanently out of the hands of King George and the international bankers was the prime reason for the Revolutionary War. History does not tell us that, does it? Once a nation parts with the control of their currency and credit, all talk of sovereignty of the parliament and of democracy is idle and futile. That's where we're at in this stage of right now. We're actually, yeah. Okay, the privately owned central bank is an institution of the most deadly hostility existing against the principles and form of our Constitution. If the American people allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then deflation, so what is that? Those are the bubbles that boom and bust. So they create these bubbles that boom and bust, real estate, stock market, right? They know what's going on. They're controlling it. They're, you know, and the mass public's getting in always at the wrong time. So all that churn back and forth is wealth transfer. That's right. And it's crushing the middle class. It's working out to a certain outcome. Okay. So that's what that means right there. First by inflation and then deflation. The banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. That was Thomas Jefferson. In the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. The financial policy of the welfare state requires there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. That's Alan Green freaking span. Listen to that again. The financial policy of the welfare state requires there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. I mean, you know, here's a guy who, like, this is back in 1967. And then he became the, you know, Federal Reserve chairman. Here's some more interesting quotes. We shall have world government whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. And that's Paul Warburg at the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, this stuff's been going on for a long time, folks. Oh, this is a wonderful one by our friend David Rockefeller. Oh, such a nice, good philanthropist. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York... This is just in case you don't think the media is... Right? So just listen to this. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors, i.e. board of directors, have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But now the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march towards world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national auto-determination practiced in past centuries. Oh. Is it patriotism or is it propaganda? Beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizenry into a patriotic fervor. For patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood, just as it narrows the mind. And when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch, and the blood boils with hate, and the mind is closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizenry. Rather, the citizenry, infused with fear and blinded by patriotism, will offer up all their rights under the leader, and gladly so. How do I know, Farrar? This is what I have done in I Am Caesar. This describes the Patriot Act. I mean, let's get real here. So out of fear, protect us, save us. Here's all my rights. Here's all my... So here's another one. This is Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie could be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Everything that's going on right now in our political scene, everything that's happening with the new administration and all of that, like them, love them, hate them, despise them, can't stand them, Trump is a virus in an organism, and that organism's trying to eject it right now, right? The deep state, the bureaucracy, whatever you want to call it, okay? So the truth is the greatest enemy of the deep state. Are you a lover of truth? This is what I mentioned earlier. 2 Thessalonians. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not in the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So what is he saying there? He's basically saying that if we don't use our free will to think and have intellectual honesty, right, then if we allow ourselves to be deceived, then he will then allow. God shall not be mocked. A man shall not reap what he does not sow. So if we sow delusion, he'll allow that to increase in ourselves and in our society. Does the government fear us, or do we fear the government? When the people fear the government, tyranny has found victory. The federal government is our servant, not our master, Thomas Jefferson. They that give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, Benjamin Franklin. When these guys, they weren't perfect. Are you perfect? Am I perfect? But they were pretty smart. When once a republic is corrupted, we talked about that earlier, there is no possibility of remedying any of the growing evils but by removing the corruption and restoring its lost principles. Every other correction is either useless or a new evil. Thomas Jefferson. So that, what is he speaking to? He's speaking to that cycle there that I went through earlier, the cycle of democracy. Okay? The only maxim of free government ought to be to trust no man living with power to endanger the public liberty. Okay? Perhaps it is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged, meaning the reason for it, the reason giving, against provisions, against danger, real or pretend, from abroad. I know it bends the brain a little bit. You got to think. It's older language. But he's basically saying that the foreign enemy, real or perceived, is always what is used as the reason for the loss of liberty at home. This is not new. This is not here. This is not just our country. This is the cycle of history. Why? Because it's us. We don't change. Human nature is the same as it was 100 years ago, the same as it was 1,000 years ago, the same as it was 6,000 years ago. You want to understand everything you need to know? It's right in the first three chapters of Genesis. Learn everything you need to know about human nature. So we as humans keep repeating the same cycles over and over and over. But there's always a remnant. Okay? Samuel Adams, it does not require a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen to set brush fires in the people's minds. Okay? The truth is that all men having power... Okay, we already read that one. The means of defense, this is another way of saying the same thing that was said earlier. Peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations. Entangling alliances with none. Do we have some entangling alliances today? Yeah, we do. It is the duty of every patriot to protect his country from its government. You know that? Do you know that they now call the founding... Sometimes there's been videos and research published that actually refers to the founding fathers as terrorists. Really? I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry. The liberties of the people never were nor ever will be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them. That speaks to transparency. Say whatever you want, think whatever you want, but thank God for whistleblowers. Because you'd have zero transparency right now, and it is causing problems and disruption, and whether it's all right or all wrong, I don't know, but you cannot have freedom without transparency. So the system right now is volatile, okay? The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure. Thomas Jefferson. If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. There you go. That's the reworking of James Madison's quote. We must not let rulers load us with perpetual debt. Thomas Jefferson. I mean, this is when they were like debating the founding of the country, right? Whenever people are well informed, they can be trusted with their own government. So what is that saying? Democracy only works, or a republic only will last, with an educated public. If you have an uneducated population, there's no hope for freedom. Here's the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. All men, all women, not certain races, not people that believe in one thing or another or don't believe or whatever. Endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of happiness. Government's first priority is to protect life and liberty, not to provide you a benefit. There's no benefit that they can provide without transgressing on somebody else or their property, taking it from them and redistributing it. Okay? To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So that was when they were declaring their independence. And in all actuality, if you study the original government structure that our father set up before they said, we want a king. And he said, no, and we want a king. Before that time, when that's why they talk about America being what it was. It was founded on Judeo-Christian value system, but it really was based on the natural law of honoring the creator and honoring others and limiting the size of government, right, in order to protect life and liberty. Are you a lover of truth? It's not about right, left. It's about liberty versus tyranny, okay? So how do we prepare? How do we do it? I am starting, like I said, a class. We're going to do this. You'll learn the whole system. If you want, this is for only a few people that are in here. I don't have room for that much, so don't feel bad if you can't do it or don't want to or don't feel like the timing's right. It's going to start. So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to set up a personalized plan and a dashboard. One of the things I've found is that people, their stuff is spread out everywhere. And so when you make financial decisions, what you're doing is you're making one-off. You're making a decision here, and you make a decision here, and you make a decision here, and then you do something here, and you have a little bit of money here, and I should do this. And then years go by, and it's just like a cluster fest. And you don't have a good grounding in basic accounting concepts and the concept of a balance sheet. So what we do is we get all this stuff pulled in into one dashboard, okay, where everything's right there and in one, and it's mobile. We do it through a mobile app, okay, and where you have all your finances, everything's right there. So you see it, okay? So if you do sit down with a financial planner, you sit down with people like Toby and his company and stuff like that, you're not sitting there like a deer in headlights. And they're asking you questions you don't know, right? So that's one of the first things that we do. Lots of Q&A that we do. There'll be four different sessions. We're going to focus on breaking bad habits, fears, and more. But this is an implementation class. So it's very like there's very specific steps that you take, okay? Homework assignments and steps. But it's really about getting this system in place, doing it. So it's not a whole lot about blah, 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 blah. It's actually, okay, do this, do that. So what I did was I look at what are we doing, what am I doing to manage our finances. And I like to make sure everything I do is mobile. Because of our travel schedule and stuff like that, I want to be able to manage it mobile, okay? And there's no, nowadays you can't. If you're not doing it mobile, you're crazy. Because then it's like, why not? You know, the technology's there. So what I did is I took that, what do I do step by step by step, including the systems that we talked about earlier, the non-discretionary systems. There's three separate rule-based formulas. They start with the initial part of managing the money and the separate bank accounts and how that happens. And then they get into asset allocation, capital allocation, and then also rules for investing so that you can build out your own investing plan, okay? So, like I said, what I'm doing personally today from mobile device, okay, using technology. So we have a 12-point action plan. It's a checklist, okay? It's a literal checklist, and you go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You actually work through that. And so when it's done, you'll have a master plan for yourself. So here's some of the stuff that's in that the checklist, okay? We set up the financial tracking systems and the wealth dashboard like I talked about. If you don't track what's going on, you can't improve what you don't measure. So you can't improve your financial situation if you don't have a system to manage it. And I hate, like, I can't stand, like, stuff that takes a lot of time and complexity. So for me, it's like, if this is taking four steps, how do I make it take three or two? You know, it's always about simple, hack it, slice it, dice it, boom. You get it down, okay? So we set up a system where you're tracking all those expenses, where you can have reports. It's fully automated, okay? Once it's set up, it takes you a couple minutes a week to manage it. That right there is huge, plus the accounting basics, because here's the thing I can tell you. The exact skills that it takes to be a successful entrepreneur, successful business person, to build and grow business, it takes the exact opposite skills to be a good money manager and a good investor. The skills that you learn as an entrepreneur will get you killed as an investor. So it's a little bit of a mind bend. Takes a different skill set, and that's why so many people that make money and they start to make a lot of money, but they can't. So then they just do business. And that's working fine, but they don't ever really build up that unearned income, and that's financial security, because the business environment's volatile, right? So, and that's okay. Business is supposed to be that way, but you want to build a foundation back there, you know? Thousands of years ago, it would be like goats and herds and camels and, you know, all this, you know, and that was the wealth. The wealth would multiply that way, you know, unless you're a farmer. Nowadays, it's, you know, so we have to use what our environment and our day and age has available, right? So the tracking and the financial, the core financial skills, right? This stuff got me killed for years. Like, because I was so busy running business and doing marketing and product dev and everything like that. And I was always trusting other people. And it wasn't that I couldn't learn, you know, but I thought, well, these are the smart people. These are the educated people. These are CPAs and attorneys and all that. And that's what they're paid for. They do that. The problem was I had never dedicated myself to really learning the core fundamentals of that. And if you don't know that, you can never actually keep those people in line. And they need to be kept in line. They will make mistakes. They make mistakes all the time. So it kind of sucks, you know, unless you love numbers and you love doing that. But for me, what I did is I figured out a way to simplify it. Simplify it so that, because you're going to be working with you need to work with advisors, okay? But you cannot be the victim. The non-discretionary decisions, filters, ratios, and systems for money management. We talked about that earlier. So we go through those. Putting your system on autopilot. We put stuff on autopilot. If you have to do it, that sucks. If you have to do it, you're going to forget. If you have to do it, you're going to make a mistake. If you have to do it, your mind's going to jack you. Okay? So we get stuff set up on autopilot so you're not having to remember. And you're not having to think. Right? So we automate as much as we can. The asset characteristics, and I already mentioned this, optimizing the balance sheet for cash flow. It's all about restructuring the balance sheet for cash flow, okay? We do go through the debt accelerator, but then we continue that on so that that debt now is what is freed up, the cash flow that was paying down debt is now being rolled into building the wealth account and building that asset base and building those cash flow assets. So you don't just pay off your debt and then you go, oh, now what? And you get stuck, and then now you don't really have a system. So then what happens is just a matter of time, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, your subconscious mind is the house. The house always wins. You cannot win, right? Unless you do something like this. Okay. We do an audit on new economy power skills. Identify your temperament and your primary and secondary investment strategy. So this is a big thing. Some people, like if you hear a good story and you hear, oh, real estate's the best thing in the world. Well, for some people, yeah, right? Oh, I'm a day trader. Oh, that sounds exciting. For some, well, now most people lose money in something like that. It's probably not the best example, but there are some people that make money. But temperament has a lot to do with it. Your personality. Are you a patient or an impatient person? Do you pay attention to detail or not much attention to detail? Your temperament and your natural God-given gifts should direct the type of investing you do. Because if you misalign that and you just hear a story because someone told you this is a good thing, now you're screwed. Because you're working outside of an area that is just not your thing. Okay? Earned income and unearned income and how that's reported on your tax return. Your tax return tells you the type of investments that you can do. Right? And where those opportunities are. So having that knowledge and information helps you close the loop so that when you make a decision, you're like, okay, what's the tax impact? Right? Investment rules and systems to manage your risk and remove your fear. I got to a point where I said, I'm tired of living in fear. Like, there's always going to be this out there. All this bad news that I just went through about the state of the world and all that, that's going to be there. That's been there. There's guys that for 40 years have been saying, the U.S. dollar is going to blow up, the world's going to end, and like for 40, and they're still, and you know what? Eventually they're going to be right. But the world has a habit of not ending. So it's earlier I said the mind has a very difficult time holding two seemingly opposing truths in its mind at the same time and acknowledging that they both are true. So we have to train and learn how to do that. And it's hard because what we want to do is we want to go all in one way. What we have to do is know that there is danger there. The Bible says the wise man sees the danger and hides himself from it, but the fool ignores it and keeps going. So we have to know that there is a problem out here. We got to be thinking. We got to keep our brain sharp. Iron sharpens iron. We got to keep ourselves hardened. You know, like we got to do that, but we can't do it in fear. We can't be the servant with the one talent that went and stuffed it under a rock. And the master came and said, "You evil, wicked servant." Why did he say that? Because he didn't step out in faith. He turned to the other one. He said, "You should have at least put it on deposit with the bankers, and I would have came back and gotten interest." And then the other one, he said, "Good job. You went out there and you took risk and you bought and you sold and you turned your 2 into 4 and your 5 into 10. Why? Because it took risk with wisdom. Okay? There's no such thing as investment without risk. If someone tells you there's a risk-free investment, that's total crap. Everything has risk. So the issue is, how do you manage the risk? Okay? It's all about risk management. How to work with advisors and other specialists, right? I mean, again, if you walk in and you're like, "Oh, help me." And you have, like, when I sit down with an advisor, there's a very specific reason why I'm working with them. Okay? They're a part of the team, and we have, like, people like Toby is incredible, a good friend of mine. He's going to be here tomorrow. And others that are just excellent, but they're very specific for specific purposes and reasons, okay? So getting your, I mentioned this earlier, getting your personal and legacy vision clear and implemented. And then I mentioned this, 30 different options. So we got a grid of 30 different ways to get your money working, get your money making money for you. And they range from 1 to 20%, right? So now what everybody goes, "Oh, 20%, I want to learn how to do that." No, you need to learn this first, because there's different risks, there's different characteristics, right? But I think out of a list of 30, you're going to be able to identify 2 or 3 or 4 of them, and you're going to say, "Okay, this is what I want to focus on," as the passive investment plan while you're still growing your business and you're learning these skill sets, okay? So part of what I'm throwing in here is that I did a few years ago a full course over, I don't know, it's like a dozen hours, video and audio of True Wealth Formula, and that was 1995, and that's going to get thrown in here for free. So you can go back through that, and it'll deal with all this mental, the mindset and the foundation stuff, and lay a lot, like a really big foundation. This class is implementation, so it's all about doing it. Right? And there's a few people in here that were in the one that we did in November, December. And it's 4 sessions, and it's very much just about, here's the homework, do this the next time we meet, you have to have this done. Okay? $1,000 discount on the implementation class starts this Tuesday, May 25th, 6 p.m. It's by the phone. It's just right through the app. You're just going to get a number, you're going to call, we're going to be on the phone together. Okay? And we're going to record everything. You have 24/7 access through the Wealth Builder app. And like I said, so 4 sessions, there will be Q&A. And we also have a monthly coaching program for people that want to continue to have that accountability and keep going and stay on this path. This does not replace anything that's going on here, okay? It's $9.95. This thing should be, if you think that's expensive, then you just disqualified yourself from this program, okay? I have spent thousands and thousands, and we have spent, I can't even tell you how much on mistakes, on education. I remember when we first started this company, in the first year, I had an opportunity to do a protege program with, anybody in here ever heard of Jay Abraham? Not too many. He's not as out there as much anymore, but he's like the godfather of direct response marketing. And it was $5,000. And I remember going, and I was like sweating, you know, and Danny's like, "You should do this." And you know what? That year, with what we learned from that, it took the company into a growth curve. But I had to make that investment. That was $5,000, right? There's events, huh? Well, no, it was a 6-month thing. That was the end, the 2 days, okay? But I was on the phone with them. It was a pretty intense deal. There's stuff out there. You go to events out there, and they're pitching stuff for $5,000, $20,000, $25,000, right? So one of the big things is that, I mean, I don't, this is, I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever, you know. So this is not for you if you're not currently applying what you're getting at First Step Success in Dynasty, okay? So if you're still struggling to apply what you're doing here, then the timing's not right for now, okay? If you're not willing to learn and take responsibility, that's a huge part of it, right? You have to, if you're going to be in this implementation class, you need to say, okay, I got an assignment, I'm going to get this done, okay? If you're just kind of like, if you're not totally serious, then it's not a right fit, okay? And if you're not in a place in your life where you're willing to take that responsibility and say, you know what, it is true, nobody's going to do for me what I won't do for myself, and where you're willing to say, I'm going to start educating myself on finances, on wealth building, on investing, okay? I want to be in a better position. I don't want to just be stepping into situations where I could be taken advantage of, okay? If you're just looking for someone to tell you what to do, this is not for you. Like, if you're like, Hans, I got this question, should I invest in this or not? Like, if you're looking for somebody to give you, to tell you what to do, that's not what this is for. Because the very first thing we're going to hammer you on is your own responsibility and your own thinking. We're going to hammer you until your brain is busted up. Because if you don't, nobody can own your stuff. You have to own it. You have to take responsibility for it. You can't just outsource that. You will hire people to help you. You will hire experts, but you have to have that responsibility. And then I mentioned if price is an issue, and you view it as an expense instead of an investment. So what I'm saying there is that the people that are right for this, they already have that capital there. And $995 is not a, like, it's, okay? It's for you if you're sick and tired of making mistakes with your money. If you have capital built up, this is one of the biggest issues. When you start to have capital built up, it's like a hole. You ever heard that money hole burn in your pocket? Subconsciously, that's pressure and you have to do something with it. You're also sending out a signal to other people, come scam me and take advantage of me. Subconsciously, you're actually doing that. You don't know you're doing it, but that's why you start to meet, oh, I met this incredible person and we're going to start a business together. That's why you start to see, because you have money. So if you've been saving and you've been listening, you've been doing this, you have capital that's building. And you know that. You know that feeling. I have this money sitting there. I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm going to go buy gold and silver. Why? Well, because somebody said go buy gold and silver. How much gold and silver did you buy? I don't know. I just have this money and I need to do something with it. Okay? So that's part of the problem. Once you get a plan in place, then that pressure is relieved. And now you're implementing that plan strategically, okay? Another one, you're out of debt, now what, okay? We already talked about that. You're applying the principles and you want to go to the next level. You're hitting bottlenecks in wealth building. So this is the last one, how to grow your unearned income and cash flow every single month on autopilot. So how would you like to have investments every single month that every month the cash flow grows? Like, we have investments to do that. Like, every single month, they're on autopilot and they grow. There's never a month where the cash flow is less than the prior. Okay? So, anyway, get the app. You can do that. You can use the app. I'll put the slides for the PDF and then that other PDF that I mentioned, the 4-quadrant, that'll be in there. So you have some resources that you can plug into to help you. Most importantly, more than anything else today, I hope you got a lot of what we talked about here. But I really hope, I would say that if I had to say one thing, is you got to make a decision. And that decision comes to your commitment to your degree. Okay? Really, for reals. Because this stuff is important and a lot of the stuff that I hit on is really important. Really important. But what's happening in our society today and what's happening in history today is for real. It's happening, okay? And you're not. You have to say, you got to commit. You got to commit, okay? You have to commit to mastering these skills that you're getting here. you know. So we have an incredible rest of the weekend that you're going to be here and you have that opportunity, but it's bigger than that, than just this weekend. It's about when you leave, like, what's that next step? You know, and if you got to sort it out, you got to think about it. I mean, just like when you make a decision, stuff starts to happen. Okay. To get on this class, it's in the app. So in the app, in Wealth Builder, if you open the app in the navigation, you're going to see a link that says special offer. And you just go in there, you click, and you, you know, just add to cart, check out. And then within a couple days, you'll get an email, and the email will give you access. And the first class is going to start this Thursday at 6 p.m. Central. So you're going to get an email with the information. You just call. Okay, and it's going to be recorded, and it'll be in the app, and the app will be with you wherever you go. So anytime you want to listen to it, like it's there. It's right in your pocket, right? You just open the app, and boom, 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 right in your library. You listen to it, pull the PDFs, pull the notes, the homework assignment, all that sort of thing, okay? So you don't have to go back. You don't have to talk to anybody. It's just if you want to do it, just open the app and just do it like that. Okay? And if you don't, no worries. But keep plugging into what you have here. Thank you, guys. I think we're going to lunch or something like that. I'm going to bring...